All right. How bad is the air conditioning in the background?
Actually, I'm curious. Try talking.
Hello.
Try talking again.
Hello. Hello, hello. Check, check, mic check, mic check. Dan Reichert is a fat bastard.
Which is ironic because I didn't go to school this week because I skipped all of my classes. But yeah.
You know, you shouldn't do that.
No, I skipped all of my class last semester, right? Last year or whole of last year, I skipped all of my, half of my classes. I went to half of my classes and I never did any of the readings and I didn't study for any of the exams. I got a 9.0 average. So, hey, it's good. It's good.
I mean, like.
If you're good at what you do, it's fine, I think. University. Like, my class averages are super low, but my averages are fine, and that's what matters at the end of the day, I guess.
I mean, yes. At some points, by the way, welcome to the Scotchcast. I'm Thurbleton hosting. This is New Brown, the one talking.
Have we started?
Oh yeah.
I like it.
I've made notes.
Okay.
Cuz like as a person who's like I've attempted college multiple times, and it's just like it, if you just don't show up to some classes, maybe like you're in your first year of it, right?
Second year.
Okay, but are these courses the required ones that are basic?
Yeah, these are prereqs, all of them.
Okay, that I mean, like as you get more into the advanced stuff, don't do that.
Well, I'm in social
don't
science.
Don't do that.
That's like a benefit. Social science is a benefit. I have friends who take notes for me in class, and. Also, the benefit is it's like a lot of the material, I already know from like just doing heavy reading previously, or B, like they're fairly simple concepts. But I mean, like, yeah, I enjoy the learning aspect of it. I just don't enjoy taking the bus early in the morning to class. That's mostly
that's,
the barrier for me.
That's fair.
I'm just very lazy. I think that's the story.
Yeah, everyone is. Yep. Myself included. And it gets to the part of like, hey, you're in university now. Mm-hmm. It is now your responsibility to get your own butt up and get to class. And it's
like, no, little... I'm doing fine. I'm getting like scholarships for having high enough marks. Like I'm doing the reason I put down school is like, I'm doing like an undergrad research project, which essentially it like prepares you. It's like for students who are planning on going to grad school, and you just spend 150 hours in your year doing research one-on-one with a professor, which is super cool. So I got a professor and I'm planning to do that.
Nice. Cynic, have you gone to university
time.
Left? Yeah. You have gone.
I just looked at recently. I guess not that long, but it feels like fucking forever. It's been 3 years since I graduated and 5 years since I've had a university like class. I spread my thesis over a year and I spread my my work experience over years to graduate. So yeah, it's been a while. It definitely depends on the type of fucking subjects you have. Like social sciences, noob is not alone in barely going to those classes because fuck that.
Yeah.
Like you can make that shit up in most cases. It's usually essays, right?
Yeah. I think my benefit is like, for example, like I never have to do research or do readings because literally like most of the material like I can just pull out of my bookshelf. So it's not an issue. Like I never had to do any research for essays. I did everything like day of, literally day of, like the clock turns 12 a.m. and that's when I start my essays. So I never put in more than like 6 hours. Like that's good enough. Turns out,
right?
That's good enough. And I think part of the problem is because I've never done like perfect, but because I get like high 80s, mid 90s, like that's never been like it's never motivated me to be like, oh, time to start putting an effort, because it's like, oh, I'm doing fine.
Yeah, it wasn't the like social science or anything specific. It was the I didn't go to any classes.
Yeah, that's, you should like, go to some of your classes. Yes, that's important.
I don't know. Dan Riker just proved that you can definitely just go or do whatever the fuck.
No,
you
Dan Riker, I mean, like,
doesn't know what a mortgage is. He doesn't know many things. He's not prepared for life outside of video games, I'll tell you that.
Also, he is a film major, so... Mm. Like not,
which is essentially the same as what Newt's doing. Like, I know it isn't, but what I'm saying is,
I mean, if you it's like the thing is, for most people who are taking my subject, it's like they're doing it because it's like I think politics is interesting. But like for me, like I probably read as many books about international relations and politics as Dan Riker has seen movies, and so in a way, like sort of like it is my area of interest. So
yeah, you're in your element in
the course
you're
doing. That's what I'm saying.
Definitely one of those things. You're the dude who doesn't have to study for class that everyone either doesn't realize is part of the class because he never shows up, or is annoyed because you just get away with straight A's. Everyone has that thing that they're just interested in and are just like randomly knowledgeable about. You just happen to have lined that with your degree, which is a good way to go, I have to say. Right. But that also makes me wonder why you need the degree in the first place.
Because
just having the
that's what
books.
Jobs look for. They don't care if I've read a lot of books.
Yeah, and like it's,
don't say you're hired in response to that question.
It's the thing of like the employer may not look for it, but it's the like getting past the recruiter who has to go through a thousand different forms.
Yeah. It's a standardization at the end of the day. I mean, like even if you take something like LGBTQ study, not to belittle anything like that, but it helps you with all career roles, because at the end of the day, A, it says you had enough discipline to at least complete this 4-year whatever program, and B, like at the very least you gain basic critical skills, critical thinking skills that are applicable in just everyday life. That doesn't involve, you know, like basic service work.
Right. So that was our University College portion of the Scotch cast.
But the reason for the most part is I'm blaming this for not going to class this week at all was because I have a friend over staying with me from Germany, from the PC Gaming Hub. Oh, so nice. All I'm saying is early plugs. If you join the PC Gaming Hub, you can live with people around the world because people are nice enough to provide their homes for free, like myself.
So what you're saying is this is probably the last time we'll hear from you because...
Oh, no. Let's be honest here. If anybody's involved in a sexual assault, I'm not exactly going to be the receiving end of that sexual assault.
That's fair enough. Wait, is it a lady?
No. Oh, God, okay. No. My poor officer would not be pleased if it was a person of the opposite sex.
Indeed.
All right. This is the Scotch Cast where we talk about video games. PC Gaming Hub, I guess, are people who, I guess, listen to this.
No. But they play video games sometimes. They play Dota sometimes. I spent $13 on Dota today to buy a compendium.
That's cool. Cynic, what have you been playing?
Oh, I've been playing so many things. I've been playing two things, and I've been watching two things. But my list looks long on this Google Doc, because we have to mention the Google Doc. If we had, like, the Scotch Cast bingo board... At least one of them has to be...
Like, one of them has to be the Google Doc. One of them has to be me either talking about Spelunky, Half-Life, or XCOM.
Or rock climbing.
And then one has to be Noob talking about buying stuff in Dota.
Yeah.
Just buying microtransactions.
Yes, microtransactions
games.
And, like, in the Star Wars subscription. Yeah.
Yeah. And possibly, like, something alluding to sexual assault on a young child or something like that.
So to quickly roll
That's
through
the wild
what I've
card.
Watched, because like the stuff I've been watching is probably the least interesting on this list. Heroes Reborn started last week, and it's not terrible. Like,
is this Heroes with the guy who says "Yatta" and then closes his eyes when he goes into town?
But he wasn't in the first couple of episodes that I know of. I haven't watched the most recent one.
Though. I really liked Heroes until four.
And it's not as good as early Heroes. Like, it doesn't have that sense of discovery. Like, the beauty of Heroes, it was essentially just a mashup of origin stories of a million different superheroes, right?
Yeah.
And that's always the funnest part. But this is more like... it actually continues the story. Like, I didn't expect that. It treats the gap between the end of the first series to this series as if it happened in that world. So this is happening, like... couple, like a number of years later, and the world is like dealing with the discovery of there being heroes in the inevitable, like, controlling way that X-Men and Marvel Comics in general has addressed many times before. It's essentially just cribbing off X-Men.
Right.
It feels like X-Men. So there's like obviously the anti I forgot what they call them. Like, they're not called supers. They're called like some
mutants.
Weird term. Not augments. Not mutants. Yeah, they don't call them mutants. They
aren't outright copying and calling them mutants.
Yeah, they're not calling them mutants. But yeah, there's like this term they've started using, which is a dumb term. And there's like these people who are hunting them and all this kind of stuff. But it has some of the things you like. Like, it's got the same cinematographic style. It's got the same like sensibilities as the first season. It's got a bunch of returning characters. It does enough winks and nods to make you go, oh yeah, and feel like it's the same universe. But it's also introducing a new cast of characters who so far are kind of lame, and I don't particularly like them. But hopefully that sorts itself out as the series progresses. I'm keeping an eye on it. It doesn't seem bad. I can't wait to watch this week's episode.
Did you know the guy who does Hiro Nakamura from like the he's like a visual effect artist that worked on all of the Star Wars prequels?
No way.
Yeah.
I thought he was just like.
No, so he went from like acting into or from like effects into film, which is really rare. I always find that super cool. It's like, it's crazy. Oh wow!
Wait, and he's like ultra American, right? Like he's normal.
Yeah, he's kickstarting. Or he was the guy who was on that Kickstarter, like the paid investor Kickstarter we talked about a bunch of times.
Oh yeah,
early.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. He was the guy who was talking about that first game that was like featured. Oh, yeah.
Weird. Maybe he's doing voice work or something for it.
No. As like a developer kind of thing. Head.
Oh, weird. So he's just one of those dudes who gets his like finger in every pie or whatever.
Yeah, which is weird. But apparently he's only a guest actor on this, which is
yes, he's weird. He's not totally reprising his role. Which is fair because it's fucking heroes and that if it takes off, like the first season would be like a really big what's the space? Investment of time. Like it's right. It's like signing up for a movie contract.
Oh, for sure. Well, so yeah. It has. I'm looking down the cast list. The only like current character that was he was in Noah Bennett. I don't know, like the dad of the cheerleader.
Yes.
Like the crazy.
He's essentially
guy.
The main character.
Yeah,
of
he's
this,
the only really person great. Who seems to have been a permanent cast.
Yeah,
they
and
got.
It's,
yeah.
It feels like they first asked everyone whether they'd come back. Everyone said no.
Right.
And then, except for this one guy, because he was like a kind of side-ish character. Not really he was a main character, but not really like an important main character.
Yeah, like, let's be honest, the guy who was not currently employed or had
nothing
to do. Yeah.
Yeah, he said yes. And then, so they wrote the whole rest of it about around him. which it definitely feels like that, and definitely feels like him and Micah, like the young black kid from the first one, is coming back as a slightly older young black kid in this one. I'm crazy. He's like a man now. He looks like 20 something. I don't. But yeah, he's returning, and he's cool. He's a cool character. He had the most rigged power of the first series, which is the ability to control all fucking electronics.
But he was a kid, so it wasn't that like he.
Yeah, but now he's an adult, and he's not using it to the like. It's as if he has no imagination. Like he has no idea how to use his fucking power. Like, oh, I can't hack their systems. Why not? Because they have people like me. Well, aren't you kind of fucking useless then?
Nice.
Like you haven't been practicing. Like, what are you doing? You've been doing this since you were a kid. Like, you literally have had your whole life to figure out how to use your power properly. Piece of shit. Anyway, and that's one of those things that I suspect will continue with the series with no one fucking. Except for, like, the thing about the first heroes was the coolest parts of that was, like, the most minimal parts of it. Like, the couple of moments you see future Peter Petrelli and he's just fucking rigged and you're like, yeah, sick. But none of the current characters are ever allowed to get that powerful because it would break the tension, I guess, the dramatic tension. It's like Superman, the Superman problem.
Yeah, it was very serious. There was, like, the guy... Like the Japanese guy closing his eyes, like that was the central humor of the show. Like it was the Japanese guy. That was the comic relief character.
Yeah, and that's definitely an example of like again, you see future hero a couple times and he's fucking rigged.
Yeah.
But then, like, the current hero is never allowed to be that strong.
Cause right.
It would break the dramatic tension. Because it's like the Matrix movies. Like, the moment Neo got his powers, that was no longer interesting. Mm. Anyway.
Also, they were just bad movies.
The first one was amazing.
No. After the first one. They were very
the sequels
bad.
Were bad.
And they don't know how to make movies anymore. It's pretty bad. Like, they made a bunch
apparently of they only knew how to make one movie.
Yeah. Essentially. Essentially. It has the guy from Chuck, Zachary Levi, on it. Cool. Chuck was a good
Who's that again?
The guy, the main character of Chuck, the nerdy guy who became a super agent.
I don't know. Alright, sure. I'll take your word for it. I think he might be. If he's the guy I'm thinking of, he's like.
He's Luke Collins. Luke Collins.
Is there a black woman with the last name Collins on that list as well?
No. Oh, wait. Okay. Joanne Collins?
Yes. Alright. So he's like one of the two people who hunt heroes. What do they call them?
Vigilantes.
They don't call them vigilantes either. They have this stupid name for them. I forget what it is. Evos? I think it might be Evos. I'm almost certain it's Evos.
Evos?
Evos.
Yeah,
what?
I'm almost certain. I told you it was a stupid name.
Do they play fighting games to kill heroes? What do they do?
Oh, God. So I watched that. All right. That's more than enough time for heroes.
I guess while we're talking about TV, I just want to add on. I don't think we've covered the Colbert's new the late night show. I don't know how much. I feel like New Brahma's like more attuned to this. I don't know if Cynic watched. Like, do you know who David Letterman is?
I don't even know if he's on here. Like, I guess he is. He used to be. I don't know if he is anymore.
He should be. It's late night, so you're gonna watch it at like 1 a.m.
Oh, okay. No,
a fine CBS product.
It is absolutely. What do you think about the show, Thurb?
I really like the show. I mean, like, it's a good hybrid between, like, what the Colbert Report, like,
do people
style
watch
was.
The show? Like, what time is it on in the night there? Like, I've never understood.
11-ish? I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been watching it, like, the next day on the
internet.
Is it,
like, a cultural touchstone? Like, is that...
Well, like, late night shows have always been, like, a staple of American television.
Yeah, it's the notion is like folks will come home from work, have dinner, watch the new like 10 o'clock news, and then after that, watch like they would watch Johnny Carson or
So like every major network has a primetime show, late night or whatever.
Wow.
Seth Meyers, Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel. To a lesser
I wonder
degree,
what it says about like the difference in our culture is that like our prime time is like 8 o'clock.
Oh, and the prime time here is 9, obviously. But yeah, right. The late shows.
But like, there's
right. They have a fairly big viewing, surprisingly, numbers.
Well, you do have like hundreds of millions of people living over there, so.
That's true.
Yes.
Yeah. And they watch a lot more television, probably.
I mean, you have a continent's worth. We don't want to go into another discussion like
you
last
have a
time.
Continent's worth.
So.
Do we have a continent's worth? Or is more of an
You have a plethora of people watching shows. But yeah, I really enjoy like because all the different late night shows have their own spin. I really like Colbert's of just like, hey, we're gonna bring they all have TV personalities and actors and like they all come on. But it seems like almost every episode he has somebody like
political or
someone political or someone from the science or like the tech industry. Like this last at the time of recording the last one they had Morgan Freeman, and then they had Sean Murray from Hello Games.
Yeah, they also had PewDiePie yesterday.
Yeah,
they had fucking PewDiePie.
Dude makes money.
Dude does make money. They also had the president of Tesla, and they talked about spaceships for a while.
Oh, this is like so. There's a technology segment every day.
Yeah, but the interesting thing is like where else it's sort of like in other late night shows you'd see like a political actor or politician or like a scientist like Neil deGrasse Tyson, and that's like a rarity for him. It's like every single episode there's somebody who is not famous because they acted on television or on movies.
That's awesome. Yeah,
they brought on like the chief, like one of the chief scientists for the Iran nuclear deal.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
That's cool. Chief diplomat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Like they had John Kerry and Biden and all that, and they talked about it. But then they also
excellent interviews, by the way. That Biden one was very, very good. Yeah. But essentially, he merges sort of like the late night, like celebrity talk show and like the humor of that with sort of like the topics of his old show. But I don't know if you noticed this there, but it's like I always kept him sort of almost slipping back into like that sarcastic super caricature view of like a Republican, like a Bill O'Reilly. I always find that funny. Like he can't quite shake his old role, which is very funny on this new show.
I mean, it's also like that is what is the most comfortable to him, and also what got him hired.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. That is what it got. But like, even in the serious role, he does play it very well, I think.
Yeah.
Like the genuine. He's a very good interviewer. They also, he also had Malala, like the.
Yeah, like, I can never remember her name, but like the girl who.
It's Malala. Yeah. But essentially, yeah, she was shot in the head for, you know, promoting education for young girls, which she was at the time.
Yeah. She got shot in the head. And then after that.
She kept
still kept promoting women's rights.
Of course, she survived being shot in the head.
Yes.
Wow.
Also had the president or the secretary general of the UN, I think. Mm-hmm. Vice president. I don't think the president's been on, but Trump was on, which was a funny one thing to watch.
So good.
Multiple presidential candidates, etc. But yeah, very, very interesting show.
So this brings me back to, so what did PewDiePie say and or the guy who's making No Man's Sky? I keep forgetting the name of
I don't know about PewDiePie, or I don't know about No Man's Sky, but PewDiePie, I think, taught him a bunch of Swedish swear words.
Okay.
Yeah, PewDiePie was just like, it was like highlighting, hey, this is a, like, I think like that was more applying to like the pulling in the young viewers to watch this YouTube clip, I guess. I
don't right. Because he probably would have like said, hey, I'm on whatever show tonight on his channel, and that probably would have gone, or like, on his Twitter. I assume has many followers as well, and that probably would have gotten some influx.
Yeah, and then Sean Murray of Hella Games. Actually, just a quick aside, just because I follow a couple of apparently like the whole crew came over from across like their base in England came over, and I saw on Twitter they were playing Rocket League in the green room and like trying to challenge Morgan Freeman to a game of Rocket League.
That's. And I assume Morgan Freeman was having none of it.
I cannot neither confirm nor deny. I guess no. I saw no other tweets about that. But yeah, it seemed like more or less the same spiel. They did a funny bit of just like, you know how in No Man's Sky you can name stuff, and that's one of the big things. They just added special sound and like graphics so that everything was Colbert themed.
Nice, that's cool. So, yeah. All right, sure.
But yeah, other than that, it was just.
I mean, it's an interesting twist. It's an absolutely interesting twist to The Late Night, which for me, like, even like Jimmy Fallon sort of gave it breath, and like they've all gone sort of more media and they play games. Like Jimmy Fallon does like a lot of weird games with his guests, like like lip sync, whatever.
And Conan does the like terrible gamer.
Yeah, but like nobody watches Conan. That's the sad thing.
It's one thing to see them highlight something VR related, which actually.
Conan does that stuff really well.
Yeah,
like, he has a lot of people.
Colbert did it a couple days ago too with one of the phone VR things.
Colbert did the CNN debate VR. Yeah.
Which, I guess, heads up, anybody with a VR headset, you can see the political debates as if you're in the crowd.
Yeah. It's so
no way. That's
Yes.
That's kind of interesting. You know what? Yeah, I'd pay. Yes, that's what I want from VR. Yes. This is what I want.
Why would you
want to
be in the crowd when you could have a better view on television?
You want to be in the crowd?
You could look at the people who the television camera is not on.
Exactly. You can see more of the space. You can look up and see the studio lights. How amazing is that?
You can't look past the person's head in front of you, but that's also because you're just a still camera.
That ruins everything.
I imagine they won't prop somebody's head in front of you.
They have those fucking 360 cameras. Those exist. Like that's a thing.
Oh yeah. No, yes. Mm. I don't ask me why I know this, but I'm pretty sure some pop artist, I fear that it is Taylor Swift, recorded a concert in like a 360 camera.
Oh, cool. Okay. All right. Sure. Why not? Like,
I think I read that somewhere.
Do it. Like, there's no reason not to. Like, it just gives you. It makes that transition to the inevitable VR future.
Yes.
More streamlined and viable. If you're already doing it now, when no one's using it.
So tell me about dystopian futures with lower graphics, Cynic.
Oh, I before we get to there, I just need to get the Martian plug out of the way. Oh, it's not a plug, but did you watch the movie as well?
Right? I did. I saw it last night. I'm less than 24 hours from seeing it.
What, same. I actually watched it, actually midday yesterday of my time, so we watched it roughly the same time, but on opposite sides of the world. Does that make you special?
That was cool. So we shared a bond, I guess. I don't know.
What did you feel about it? What did you think of the movie?
I enjoyed it. I liked it. The weirdest thing was the scariest part was when they were actually doing stuff in space. When two things are need to meet up. And yes. I talked about this months ago when I played Kerbal. But because I played Kerbal, I knew how insanely difficult it was. And if you make the wrong calculation and you miss, you are screwed.
Yeah,
you're screwed.
Something is flying off into space or crashing into the ground. There's nothing you can do about it because probably run out of fuel 10 minutes ago. That was cool. The book is in fucking incredible. You read it as well, right?
I've listened to it.
Okay. Yeah. Fair. Okay. Same. And I think it was R.C. Gray or something.
Some people have told me, and I think I agree. That they complement each other.
Yes.
One's not necessarily better than the other. Just one's here's the story adapted for film. It's not
No, I disagree.
Okay. But if you've watched the movie and haven't read the book, it's still worth it to read the book, and vice versa.
I give you yes. In the same way that if you watch the Harry Potter movies but haven't read the Harry Potter books, or you watch the Lord of the Rings movies and haven't read the Lord of the Rings books, because the book is just that much better, you definitely still have something to gain. And vice versa, it's pretty cool seeing what you had in your head happening in film. That's always an interesting thing to watch. It's just a reminder that the requirements of film are so stringent that you can't have things like some of the more interesting things in the book. The book is incredible because, especially if you're a geek, MacGyver's the shit out of everything. But yes. The beauty of the book is he does it. He explains it in a way that's ultimately joyously understandable and interesting. He keeps that pace up as well. There's at least one major event that I can think of, and I think a couple of others that were in the book but weren't in the movie, that just fucks with trying to survive on Mars. And also there's more build up to when something goes wrong, so you can feel you have that more sense of dread as the book goes along in some cases, especially with the first resupply mission, which is a spoiler, I guess. Apologies. You have that extra A, context, but B, greater understanding what's going on. In the movie, there's some little bits that I found really annoying, which was he brought up his mission profile folder and it said botanist on it. Well, yes, he's a botanist, but the cool thing about his character was that he's a botanist and mechanical engineer, because every astronaut needs to do multiple things. They have to have multiple degrees because they're fucking astronauts going to fucking Mars, and you need to be the top ass shit to go.
In the same way, a small team startup has to do all sorts of has to do 10 people's jobs with three actual people.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Like the fact that Drew's in front of camera, behind camera, and editing.
Yeah. An on-set personality. I mean, they do all of it. So.
Yeah, exactly. And he's doing quick looks as well. It's like that, but in space, where it's not just you might make a bad video. It's everyone might burn to death and die in a horrible fiery space explosion, or suffocate or starve. So it's pretty important that everyone has multiple roles. But in the book, it simplifies it to him being a botanist. And it makes things like him making hydrazine into water less believable in a way. I don't know what that movie would have been like for someone who hadn't read the book, because a lot of it doesn't necessarily make sense. But it was great. It was some of the funny moments were done excellently. The Rich Bunnell is a steely-eyed missile man was still in the movie. That's my favorite moment from the book. It had its great moments. It's definitely watchable. It's like it's a solid like 4 out of 5 kind of movie. But definitely, if you're out there, read the book because that thing's goddamn amazing. Do you have anything else to add? Like I've kind of hijacked this conversation.
No, I mean like that. All I pretty much have to say, yeah, I've already said. Like I enjoyed it. I'd recommend it to folks. I don't know. Like I'll probably be seeing it again. When it hits cheap theaters, just for all the friends that, are on the fence. I liked it.
Yeah.
Especially with, just like, in the light of we are hopefully on the, like, around the corner of an actual trip to Mars.
That's going to be
I don't envy the people who have to go there, though. Do not envy them.
Which, as a quick plug, just there, no one's actually made, well... Until recently, no one's actually made a 2-scale model of the solar system. Someone did it. Earth is the size of a marble. The sun is about 5 meters tall. And from the sun to Neptune, since Pluto is not a planet anymore, Neptune's the furthest one out, it's 3.5 miles. So it's 7 miles diameter.
So they essentially just like put up a bunch of statues in a city or something, right? Like
They actually went out to a desert.
Oh, cool!
And so the video is a neat effect where you can like you see them orbiting and like because they have to drive around to get the orbit. But yeah, it's a cool video.
Holy cow! All right, cool. That's pretty awesome. Yeah.
But yeah, it basically the connection to that with the Martian is just like, hey, it's like with the scale, it's like a couple feet to get from Earth to the moon, it's several hundred feet to get from Earth to Mars.
Yeah. And it's just like, yeah, that's another thing, right? Like there's like a 7-month gap in the book, right?
Unless you're going one way, right?
It's a 7-month gap with the best, like orientation sort of thing.
Yes.
There are times when like 7 months is the shortest. There are times when it's like, well, it comes up in the story, I guess, but like if you wait, it's comparable to like, well, we might as well just like wait 3 months because it's going to be the same time.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's that there are launch windows with all space projects. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, it's really one of those things where the movie will give you a taste of the, it will give you the general story and it'll give you like a fun little romp in space.
Which I mean, what at the end of the day, like a blockbuster, like AAA film, that's what it is, right? It's not.
Well,
I don't think it's like a dumbing down, but it's a simplification to a certain degree.
It has to be, right? Like you can't have him actually breaking down. Hey, this is how you make hydrogen into water on screen. They do have those little moments, which were my favorite parts of the movie, aside from the steely-eyed missile man. With him just speaking into a camera going, okay, this is what I got to do. And it reminded me of what I really loved in the book because it's like that thing where the unifying factor between carpentry competitions and major league sports is that it is fascinating to watch someone who is really good at what they do what they do. It is fascinating. It doesn't matter what – well, it doesn't matter. But in many cases, as long as it's like a visually interesting thing, like watching someone paint, like a really famous artist paint, watching those dudes on the sand dunes making those amazing sand sculptures, like it's just – it's – and in the same way, watching this guy do science through the lens of the book and to a lesser extent the movie is fascinating. And it's definitely one of those things that you is awesome that it's that sci-fi is coming back in a big way. Like we have Star Wars this year, we had Gravity last year, we had Interstellar last year. Like it's pretty awesome. I'm happy about that.
And the Star Trek movies starting us off.
Yeah,
they're definitely a bit more action than Star Trek has been. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it's good. So moving on to the actual video games. So
yes.
What's that in terms of T-minus to talking to we're talking about video games? Double thing, what are we, like 30 minutes in or 20 minutes in?
About 30 minutes.
All right. Video games.
Tell me a tale of video games.
Everyone here has played a specific game. I'm not sure if, Noob, did you play it after you played it through me or did you... Have you ever gotten around like back to Undertale?
I haven't gotten around to it. I actually forgot about that game until about a second ago when you mentioned it.
Perfect.
Undertale.
It was a cool game, though. It's not because the game is dumb. It just I forgot it existed. Which sometimes
yeah, well, you happens. Had a nap, and then that.
Yes, just, I remember it now.
Out of your head. No. Yes, Undertale. Thurbleton, you played it.
Yes.
Did you finish it?
Where'd you get up to?
I've run around in lava land, fire land.
Yeah. That's just
it's cool.
Near the end, right near the end. Have you? So you haven't beaten it.
No.
Okay. Well, I wasn't going to ruin the ending anyway, but it just gives me some perspective. That game is pretty cool. It was cool enough for Noob to go to. He looked up some stuff about how that game works.
It is adorable.
I looked up the ending of the game. Let's just say that, and I looked up the metagame. Okay, have you beat? How many times have you beat the game?
I just got the what I've gotten two endings.
Okay,
and I'm happy about the endings I've gotten.
Okay, so did you were you a pacifist?
Yes, I did not
a
kill
full pacifist. Anyone. Okay,
100% pacifist. Yeah,
on both runs.
On both runs.
Okay.
I don't know if you can get the second ending I got without getting the first ending I got. I'm pretty sure you have to get both.
I guess to anybody who doesn't know about this, I'm sure many people have seen the quick look and the 5-star review by it's Austin Walker. But it just it's RPG, kind of Earthbound like. Anybody doesn't know what that means, it's your expectations of what an RPG is subverted to rather than just hack and slash your way through. You're kind of prompted to like, hey, just talk to these people and talk your way like out of situations and all that. That there are antics and there's neat combat. I guess there's neat gameplay. We'll go with that.
Yeah. It's like Earthbound meets Persona meets Earthbound meets Shin Megami Tensei meets a bullet hell shooter. That's how I describe this game. But through an indie lens. Just to add as many descriptors as physically possible.
I don't know I don't know what Shin Megami Tensei is, so I don't know. That's a horrible example for most people who have never played.
How about Persona?
It's a classic JRPG. Let's just say
it's
that.
Not. The reason I bring that up is because you can resolve combats by talking to the enemy.
No. In terms of like how the menus are and just what you can expect.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, like, so you mean like Deus Ex?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One other thing I want to add on to this is the soundtrack, and we say this a lot with indie games. Soundtrack's good. It's good, yo.
I haven't heard the soundtrack of the game, so I don't know how good.
But. You've heard like the first level, like two levels worth, right? Or
no, because the audio didn't work until like you got to the weird cave. You got to the basement. We thought it was going to get super sinister, but it was the exact opposite.
That game does a great job of playing with your expectations and then subvert, like just straight up subverting expectations in some of the greatest ways it can. But also like living up to it in ways that you wouldn't expect and thus is a subversion in and of itself. Like it's a very interesting little indie game and
it's a fucking bait and switch.
Has this game gotten too much like praise? I don't know. I haven't exactly followed.
I don't know if it's got too much praise, but it's definitely blown up from like the people who like it are very ecstatic about it.
Yes.
And then there's the normal split of like 80% are just yeah whatever, 10% hate it, 10% like super love it. That super loves. Are just going crazy about it and telling everybody.
It's a better game than Gone Home.
Crazy.
It's a better game than Gone Home. I'll give you
You're a crazy person for thinking. We talk about what the game actually plays like. It kind of plays like a bullet hell kind of thing, and you can talk to monsters and whatever during like RPG, like old school RPG-esque menu system combat, right?
Yeah.
And it's random combat as well, which is never actually that bad. The encounter level has been set pretty low. But like the actual like heart of this game is you're this kid who stumbles like
into the underground monster world.
It reminds me of Monsters Inc. Like there's this kid who is now in a world of monsters and
but not really, because at the end, like the kid in that movie had like no agency. Like yes, he did not affect. This game plays out in a way where choices have consequences to a specific degree, as we found out when you were playing before I quit out.
Oh my god.
It will fundamentally change the game, right?
Yes. Well,
Not in terms of its outcome, but specifically in how you perceive the game and sort of like how it works, right? And the story itself.
Yeah.
And
so, but we should explain. Like we should start from the start. We're jumping around. All right. So that's the game plays like what we said it plays like. You're playing this little kid, and the core concept of the game is you are lost and you have to try to get home. You're in this like world of monsters, and you can fight them, or you can make friends with them. And that's the core of the game. Like the combat system is about you deciding whether you want to fight or make friends with the monsters. And if you fight them, you gain experience
and gold.
And gold.
Oh no, you also get gold for
helping them, for befriending them, for mercying them. I forget what it's called. Sparing them.
Sparing them.
Yeah. You get gold for and shit for sparing them, but. You only get XP from killing them, so your health pretty much never goes up if you're playing a pacifist run. So essentially, you're doing this whole game. You can play this game essentially either like as a mix or one of two very distinct ways. Which is one way through feels like an old school RPG, which is an interesting combat system based on timing. The other way is more like a Tsumeru Tensei game where you're talking to and making friends with everything, and the combat system plays more like a bullet hell shooter, because if you're, for example, you say the wrong thing to someone, they attack you, and how that attack plays out is like you're essentially this little dot or ship or heart, you're like a little heart, and you're moving around the bottom of the screen, and the shit's literally coming at you from every direction, like a bullet hell shooter. So that's the basic core concept. The way that they make it interesting is that not only is it this really core conceit of being able to make friends with and spare or kill these things, that matters. So the game tracks how many things you've killed. It tracks who you killed and like what circumstances that was in. And that factors into how things in the game consider you, talk to you, like treat you, and the ending you get. There's like six different endings to this game. But the craziest thing is it remembers what you do between playthroughs. And even like if you reload a save, it remembers what you did previously. So like I accidentally killed this really important person the first time through because I couldn't figure out how to not kill them. And then I was like, no, fuck that. And I reloaded a save. And after I spared them the second time through, I met this character who says, I know what you did. You reloaded a save and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, wow, that was some like Psychomantis shit happening, which is awesome and totally different and interesting in an Austin Walker level of using the word interesting. But like, is that, I don't know if, I think the people who are saying like, oh, this is the best game of the year, this is better than Metal Gear Solid and Witcher.
I think the charm of the game is almost exclusively in not like the game mechanics, but the writing, the story.
The writing.
Yeah.
The writing and the music.
I mean, this is just a rare thing that happens to me. It's like when that first try we fucked up and then you went for the violent option.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of like in memory a thing that broke my heart as much as it broke my heart then. Genuinely. Like I can't think of anything because it was just like, oh my god, that's fucking heartbreaking.
Yes, it was.
It's just well written.
Yeah, like you start to care for some of these characters like quite a bit. And again, like this is why I related to Persona. Like it's the writing is such the case that the characters for what they are have a personality, and you can start to actually care about them. And when some of them like treat you really nice, it's just, you don't want to be bad to them, which means this is a spoiler. If you think just fast forward like 30 seconds, if you think it's a spoiler, I am never going to do the genocide ending ever.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
It's not worth it. It's not worth it.
Yep.
It's, It's not worth it.
I mean,
I will. I will when I get the game. But for normal people, it's not worth it. It's not worth it.
Like, that's fucked up. I couldn't even imagine it.
Really?
Yeah, no. I couldn't.
Definitely imagine it. I've always...
Especially when you get to, like, the neutral ending or, like, one of the, like, non-really bad endings. You see, like, essentially more and more of the cast. And they keep returning and, you see them again. You're like... You get to know more about them, and it definitely is one of those things where, yeah, you can't. Like, I hate some of the characters. Like, I really, like, the skeletons didn't fucking, like, I hate them. They're dumb. Every time they're on screen, I feel like X-ing past everything on screen. But all the rest are really cool. I don't know. Thurbleton? What you got, son? What you got?
I mean, Sans is my boy.
Fuck Sans. Fuck the guy. He's so lame. He's so goddamn lame.
He's so good!
Everyone should get this game. I think everyone
actually,
should.
Okay.
I disagree, yeah. I disagree that this is whatever the best game of the year. Agree with that. Like, but it just like, I think this is an excellent thing. It's well worth the $10. Yeah. It's not a great... It's a simple indie game, like at the heart of it.
It's 7 hours long.
It's the writing, like the story. That's what it sets it apart. Not even the idea of making friends per se.
It's not the graphics. It's not the game. Like they're all like the gameplay is good, graphics good. Thing people love about it.
Audio is excellent.
It's got heart.
Yeah, it's got heart.
Which I can't say for a lot of games. Even ones with good story.
Hmm. Yeah, it's that little it makes you care in a way that many other games don't. I think maybe it was just because I fucking hated the skeletons that I just haven't. Fuck those guys. $10 on Steam. 5 hours for the first playthrough. I did two playthroughs, so 7, and that's. It's definitely worth a shot at least. And playing a Let's Play, like watching a Let's Play of it, doesn't give you what you want. Because having the agency of being able to choose or like for example, you can spare bosses and make friends with bosses. And I did that through the whole game because I did a pacifist playthrough. And that's fucking hard. Like it gets...
Oh yeah, it's difficult. The game definitely punishes you for not getting XP, for sure. Yeah.
Yes. Like having 20 HP the whole game is fucked up when bosses are doing like 5 HP per hit and you're having like a million bullets going at you. Thank God for healing items. That's all I've got to say. God.
But I will say this: when I was watching you play and I was trying to get like tell you to what was happening,
mm-hmm.
There is a way that lets you play a genocide run and then play a pacifist run, and apparently that's fundamentally like that's a completely different ending, I think.
Yes, that's what I've heard. Yeah. I just will never do a genocide run.
Yep.
Ever. I can't. I'm in the Paragon in Mass Effect.
Oh, really?
Can't. Yeah, I can't. I just can't be evil in video games. I can't even be a meanie. I can't even be a big meanie in video games. Like that just breaks my heart. I just can't do it. Anyway.
I know, I like it. Yeah, it's great.
It's definitely going to be my game of the year list. Like, so that's the thing. So there's one more game I've been playing this week, you guys.
Oh?
Mm-hmm.
I have played one more game.
Yeah, what's that game?
Let me tell you about Destiny the Taken King.
I mean, like... Yeah, I know.
I heard it's a really good game for in Destiny scale... of goodness.
So,
of
okay, before you talk about that game, I just want to point out I started watching the Taken King stream right after I got home from work.
Right.
I did not get much sleep the night before. I started watching it, really enjoyed like the first couple hours. They got to like the jumping part. Then I fell asleep.
Yep.
Then I woke up. They were still doing the raid.
Yeah, it's... Fuck.
Wait, no, it's like, it's It's a great expansion if you're for somebody who is still playing Destiny. It's a great expansion if you're still playing Destiny.
And like, I don't want, like, but the statement I just said to give any negative thing. I'm just like, what? They're doing this raid for 7 hours.
Yeah. And, but so, I thought I was out.
Oh, shit. I knew you were.
Destiny. And honestly, it was Brad Shoemaker who got me back in. Like, I had Destiny friends who were like, oh, man, you should come back. It's so much better. And I was like, no, I'm not doing it. I'm not falling for this again. But Brad and Jeff both saying that it's a way better game on the latest Bombcast. I haven't even watched the stream yet for the they run through the King's Fall raid. I haven't watched that yet. I'm going to watch it at some point, but I haven't watched that yet. They finally convinced me to give it another shot. And so I jumped back in. I had lost my CD. Like, I can't. My Blu-ray, I can't find it. I've searched both this house and my other house and my place of work, and I just can't find it. So I bought the digital deluxe edition. So I sunk like $20 more than I had to into the game just so I could fucking play it. And God, like, they've made it way better.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit, like, it's dumb, but like, the loot grind feels better. None of my friends on my friends list are max light level, which means it has more legs than any previous one, because I got to max light within, say, I don't know, a week and a half or 3 weeks in most cases from launch, and none of them are even close to it at the moment. They're all around like 290 light, as opposed to, I forget what the actual mass is, but it's 300 something. Yeah, it's just one of those things where, like, they changed the leveling system. Leveling still doesn't matter. Fuck that shit. But they've taken so much of the guesswork out, and, like, they've taken out the RNG in so many good ways, and taken out, like, many of the, essentially there's only, like, two resources now. Like, two main resources. There's legendary marks and motes of light. Aside from like the strange coins and the materials, which is like low numbers, like you only need like 10 or 20 of those. But in terms of like needing hundreds of something, there's only two real mats now. And that fundamentally changes it. Like, everything you do gives you a reward that leads to a guaranteed legendary weapon. Like, all that kind of stuff is really compelling. And like, the way you can upgrade new gear is like, if you like a gun, you can feed another gun to it and make it better. Like, you don't have to just keep changing up your weapons if you don't want to. Or in my case, I love changing out weapons, so I just keep switching to the new weapon as soon as it drops, and that's freaking awesome, like, having that experience again. My only concern is that, like, once I get to the end game and finally gear up for the raid and beat the raid, I don't see anything like I want to do beyond that. Like, the storytelling is a little bit better, but there's still a limited amount of stories.
You know what
like
you can do then, Cynic? You can stop playing the game until the next content.
Yeah, and that sounds like the way to go, because like,
that's what I did with SWTOR, except I'm still subscribed, and I spend money monthly on a game I don't play. But other than that,
I look back at it, and I like yesterday I did all the third expansion's worth of stuff in like 6 hours, because fuck it, you don't need to fucking like, the gear has gotten so extreme now that like the common drops are better than the best gear that could have been that was available when that expansion happened, and I just got them like literally for free off the ground, as opposed to doing a raid or like doing Prison of Elders like a million times to get better gear. Like, it's, I have like, you just hit a button and you can upgrade like year one weapons to the max possible damage for you. Like, it's just, it saves you so much time to just skip content. Like, I don't even know if I'm going to get the next expansion. Like, I might just wait for the second expansion and do the exact same thing I did for this one. It's interesting. And there's so many people out there talking about Destiny now that it's kind of, it feels like the game just came out again, but this time it was good. So I'm really, and I haven't fucking lighted up enough to do any of the heroic missions or like any of the new strikes, or like I want to try out the new raid. I want to at least try out Prison of Elders. Like, there's so much stuff in this game for me, thanks to skipping like fucking 6 months worth of content, then I'm pretty happy. Like this could be like one of my favorite games this year. And that's kind of fucked up. But that said, like, it's still kind of fucked up. I mean, there's still things wrong with it. Like, there's the vault space is still too small, and it's organized really dumb. There should be a way to auto-organize all that shit. Like, RPGs are doing this for tens of years now. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? There's still this case of the grind. Like, you're even though there's guaranteed legendaries at the end of some quests, like, you're still grinding to get there, which I guess is what gives the game its legs. But like the new class I've gotten isn't that interesting. I have three titans, so maybe it's my fault, but Sunbreaker is pretty cool, but like not like fucking mind-blowing or anything. It's one of those things where it still doesn't feel like the game has a full RPG campaign worth of stuff in it. Like, I did all of the expansion 3 stuff in about 3 hours, and I feel like I'll be doing pretty much all of the story stuff from The Taken King in maybe another 3 to 4 hours. Like, noted, I'd have to play for like maybe 10, 12, 15 hours beyond that to get geared up for the raid, but that's just a lot of grinding. It feels like they made a lot of steps in a really good direction. In a way that I think, like, expansion notwithstanding, Guild Wars didn't. Like, Guild Wars 2 didn't make some of these steps that I wish they had. Like, the cutscenes in this are great. There's way more characterization. There's people I care about, relatively.
Are you saying Destiny is a better game than Guild Wars 2?
I kind of am.
I mean, well, okay, no, you're saying Destiny 2.
I think most people would respect
Destiny the Taken King is a better version of that. Like, a lot of the stuff you're saying you like about the Taken King, Guild Wars 2 is also doing. Like, they're making it. Yeah. They're making a way to get legendaries. Like, more specifically than legendaries, they're making a way to get precursors other than just like throw the dice.
I mean, the expansion sounds like it's doing the same things as this is doing in a really great way.
I just want to say that
there's a lot of people are talking about the raids that are being added as well.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it sounds like Guild Wars is going to have like a similar kind of rebirth, and that's really cool.
But Guild Wars has been out longer. Guild Wars 2 has been out way longer.
Yeah, exactly. But of course, like, fucking Activision and Bungie have more money behind them than ArenaNet do, which shouldn't be an excuse because fucking support your game. If you're gonna make a like one of these like online focused, multiplayer focused, cooperative kind of game.
They kept the servers running. What more can you ask for? You're getting a bit greedy.
Indeed. Like, I'm kind of impressed.
I mean, like, I will give props to Guild Wars if only because they are trying new stuff, be it like the Living World Season 1 and 2, like both different things that like they are like throwing signs to the wall and seeing what sticks. Yes. Whereas, and I'm not the first one to make this analogy, but the Taken King and Destiny is just like, hey, they're just adding known quantities that have worked to the game system.
It's not even that. It's like they're adding the things that were blatantly missing from the original release. Like, they haven't necessarily progressed. Like, they've gone from minus 10 to 0. It just happens to be that Bungie makes some of the best fucking first-person shooting in video games. Like, it feels just so goddamn good, and that's why I like it so much. It's good. It feels nice to shoot things in the head in that video game.
They make really good top-down strategy. They make good third-person hand-to-hand combat / shooting. They make a lot of good games other than Halo.
Yeah. It's Destiny isn't fucking
really old gamers are gonna get that reference.
Of course they are. Fucking Bungie's been around for fucking years. They've really stuck it to Apple as well. Like, if you like sticking it to Apple, like, Bungie's you. But it feels like they're finally achieved, like, giving me what I can't even imagine how good it would have been if this was what had come out last year. I would have been a legit Game of the Year contender last year because there's things they did with like moving content around to make more sense. So like in terms of level progression. So at level 25, you do some story missions as part of the third expansion. But back then it was like level 35 content, but they've reshuffled it down to level 25. And that literally takes you into stuff like the Vault of Glass, i.e. the raid, and runs you through some of the mechanics. So you're actually in like a story mission and it's teaching you mechanics that you'll be using in the raid. And like, it just does really interesting, good things like that that should have had like last year. And it's amazing. Like this package, if you've not played Destiny, like this thing is a fantastic product for you. If you like first person shooters.
Is it worth getting into Destiny at this point, you would say?
Yes. Only because like it's not a subscription game. It's literally one, you just buy it. I think it's like, what, $70 or so for everything in one package.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and so it's like, it's if you treat it like Metal Gear or anything else, like you buy it, you play it, you finish it, you're done. Yeah, it's absolutely 100% worth it right now. It's like, you'll definitely feel like a weird step up in content quality when it goes from the original campaign to the new stuff. But that aside, like everything down to like Nolan North is fantastic. He's way better than fucking Peter Dinklage. And even though he's like similar in such a way that sometimes I forget that they changed the voice actor. Like they're still doing the robot-y kind of like Guilty Spark kind of voice. And it's like, it's interesting. I just hope I get this. In my head, I want to get Taken King done before Tales of whatever, like whatever weird word they made up for the just recent Tales game is coming out.
Tales of Games?
Tales of something. Tales of Game.
I know you're thinking Tales of Vesperia or whatever, but Tales of Games are the people who make Barkley, Shut Up and Jam, Gaiden.
Oh, okay, nice.
Of which there is a new one of those coming out soon.
That's pretty great. I'm happy that's the thing. But no, yeah, so I hope to get done within 2 weeks, and then I hope to get that done before Halo 5 comes out, because then I have to make a serious decision as to whether I'm going to buy an Xbox One this year. Yeah, video games. Video games are a thing, you guys. That's the end of my segment. Jeez.
Cool. I guess like the noobs talked about school and things talked about. It's a ton of stuff.
I watched 24, if that counts.
Is there a new... people keep... talking to
well, there was a new, thing. There was a new, the one season, one short season of 24, which was a 12 episode instead of a 24 episode.
Well, each was each episode 2 hours.
Yeah, essentially. I think there's a 12 hour jump between the last episode and the second last episode.
Fuck you, fuck you.
No, I'm not joking.
That's not even. Nope, that not watching it.
Apparently, it's quite good. It's quite good.
I've heard it was quite good. Dan Reichert says it's amazing.
Okay, but that's not a great.
I mean, like that's not a good. Yeah. Scale.
Well, it could just mean that they didn't use the word mortgage a lot. But
or just like this series had no mayonnaise in it.
Yeah, rewatching it and forgetting all of the plot twists, it is still a very good show. It's very good. It's a good show.
Yeah, very good. Fuck, I loved 24 when it first came out. That was probably my favorite thing on TV, except for Battlestar back then.
Nice. I guess so. Games I've been playing, stuff I've been doing. Talked about The Martian. A quick update for Long War. That game's still really good. I've gone so far down the rabbit hole. I've actually like have lists of the person, their class, and then the sub role of that class. And so actually, I'm kind of curious how many people do I have on staff? 64 people. And that's kind of low. I lost some folks in past couple missions. Mm. Like it gets to the point where like I can't keep up with the amount of alien like the just the amount of they're working me to the bone. So yeah, Long War is still really good.
I forget. But can you beat Long War?
Yeah, I mean like it's the same arc as the vanilla game. It's just. There's a lot more happening.
Right. Okay.
Like I think I got in 1 month, I got like something like a dozen alien UFOs. And that was still only when I had two continents with satellite coverage.
Jeez.
So yeah, it's kind of crazy. But in terms of like games, we talked about Undertale. There's a game called Interstellar Marines that is a very generic title for a game. It's an early access. It's been early access for about a year now. But it's been for sale in development for a year now. And there's many a game that's been like that. And so, like, I guess starting off, I'll say that there's not a lot of stuff. Like, there's not a lot to this game, but what's there is very fun. It's very generic premise. You are a faceless marine with a helmet going through sci-fi corridors. And right now, I'm not sure if they should be like people later on, but just right now they're just a bunch of robots that are out to make you crap your pants.
Right.
But yeah, okay. You're maneuvering through like installations.
So it's a first person shooter.
Okay.
All right. Now I'm with you.
Sorry.
I'm like, cool. Yeah. All right. Cool. So is like Aliens inspired, would you say, or?
Yeah, a little bit. Actually, there's a point, like one of the missions I have to go to a space station. And this, the other nice thing about this, it's single player or up to 4-player co-op. So I was playing with a friend and we're like exploring it. And then on the intercom, because we just like it goes, tonight's we're in the residential area. Tonight's movie feature will be Alien. And we just both stopped and looked at each other and like, really? So
what the fuck is with these shark dogs? Yeah. Are shark dogs a threat?
I don't know.
I'm just looking at the Interstellar Marines images of Google, and almost all of them have this fucking shark dog, and that sounds like the worst.
I have not come across a shark. Are you looking at the right thing?
I don't know. But it looks cool. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, please link me on that. But anyway, so the thing, like, I'll start rolling off things I really like about it. Flashlight. When you have, so it's, you just like, you have three guns, infinite ammo, but you just have to reload and all that. So it brings in immersion, this stuff that is cool, and then just sidelines the stuff that is just like, whatever. Yeah, this is the right game, but I don't know what that shark's about.
Shark dog.
Shark
right.
Dog. Shog. But yeah, it's the things like, the other players can see your flashlight and like the area you're highlighting. And then if you are behind a teammate and look at them with the flashlight, they see a silhouette of themselves. And actually, I scared my friend doing that. They thought that it was a robot coming to get them.
Nice.
Next thing, AI of the robot's dang good. It's better than, it's a lot better than the DayZ zombies.
Right.
There are a lot of fucking shark dogs on these screenshots. I mean, it's like half of these are shark dogs.
Maybe that's a community thing. I don't know the joke for the shark dogs. All I've fought are humanoid robots that
at
run
least
up.
One of these looks like you're playing as a shark dog.
And then another one as maybe that's the multiplayer version. I don't know.
Okay.
Like there is a versus as well as a co-op. There's robots with guns occasionally, but like it's right. Like the shooting's good. You're kind of slow, but it feels comfortable in a way of like Tom Clancy, like the old school Tom Clancy's. That like you're moving slow because if you move fast, you make a lot of noise.
Right.
And like we go to doorways and like, all right, you move right, I'll move left, go. Like there is that sort of mentality, because if you just run around like running and gunning, you're probably going to have like you're going to get scared shitless and probably die. That's like I said, there's not a lot to the game, but it's a fun thing, especially with October here. The game's like $15, something like that.
Right.
I don't know when the fall sale. I feel like the fall Steam sale is probably going to happen in November and not October, right?
Probably, yes.
Yeah. If it comes on sale, pick it up, play with some friends. If not, I mean, still, it's fun. I enjoyed it. So yeah, that's Interstellar Marines. The other thing I want to talk about is not technically a video game. It is not even untechnically a video game. It's not a video game. It's Spark of Resistance. Anybody in Portland, or really, like, even if you're not in Portland, do some searching, see if there's a thing like this happening in your area. Room Escapes.
Oh, I've been to one.
Yes.
When I went to the Czech Republic on vacation with friends.
Okay, here, I'll set up for Cynic, but go ahead.
Yeah. The Room Escape, we escaped from a Czech magic room that was like, the theme was like witches and wizards kind of thing. It's like alchemy. It's super cool. We got in, we actually made it we did it in the allotted time.
Nice.
I think we were in like the top 25% or something.
Right on.
So we weren't retarded is what I would want to say. It was a 50% success rate. It was a 50%.
Apparently my group is one of the retarded ones, I guess. We were in the 75% of failing.
Yeah, defense
room. Cynic.
Okay.
You like rooms, right?
I like rooms.
Yeah, four corners, ceiling. They're great.
They're way more than four corners in this room.
Wow. Okay. It's living a high life.
No, it's just it joins the hallway. And
what would you say if I said, why not pay somebody an allotment of money to go in with either some friends or complete strangers and then try and solve the riddles in the room before an allotment of time?
What kind of riddles?
Not riddles, but puzzles, ciphers.
Finding keys.
Yeah, like you're given a space and within like some parameters, like so they don't actually lock the door because you know for health and safety reasons. Like no, that's just crazy.
Well, they do lock the door, but you can tell them, oh, I want to get out, and then they'll be like, okay.
I mean, like for the Pacific Northwest, like we have the constantly looming threat of a mega earthquake just like ravaging us. So right. Like there's like yeah, let's not do that. We don't want to get sued. We're given an hour. It's made to vary depending on whatever your the thing you guys are looking up for. But as long as we don't like move furniture around or nothing, we could like go through like any of the props that are in this room, because this one was themed as like a 1950s like Arstoska kind of setting, and then
It's just like a fucking living room? What kind of fucking room is this?
Sorry. I should have said it's okay. So Arstoska, Papers Please, Soviet era. It was like an office building.
Okay.
And so there's all sorts of props and whatnot. And then we had to go through pockets, go like look around for clues, find keys, and so long as we didn't like move any of the furniture around or like any of these minimum parameters of like, hey, don't wreck the place because we have to make it presentable for the next people to come in.
Right.
We're meant to go through books and like Shawshank Redemption style, find the hollow book that has the key inside of it.
Right. That's cool. Right. And, so how big a space we talking about? How many people?
You know, 8x10, I guess. 10x10?
Okay.
10x10 feet.
It's 3 meters. Okay.
Yes. 3 meter by 3 meter.
Relatively small room.
A room that, for eight people, you don't feel crowded. It's a dense room. Like, there's lots of stuff in there. But you could be working on one part of the room, and someone working on the other part of the room in another puzzle won't know. Like, they could be connected, and so you need to have people going back and forth and, like, group communication.
Right. Okay. Cool. So it's not like a haunted house where
like I have heard that there are some that are haunted house like. Like there's a person in the room with you that is like a zombie and he's playing dead up until a certain point.
Oh, that's kind of interesting. That's kind of cool. I was thinking like more like there's no like actual time pressure external aside from the timer. Like
yeah, we had a lovely like in the same vein as 24, we had an hour, like a 4-digit clock counting down for an hour.
Oh, really? We had a time glass or hourglass.
Yeah, I thought an hourglass would be really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. But yeah, like I was saying, like I was thinking in my head, like when you said room escape, it's like this should be like a reason to like to get out, or like you were in a jail or something. It'd be interesting if there was like a some form of like in world, if you could call a room representative of a world, reason for you to get out. Like there's a bomb in the middle of the room and you.
Oh no! Like ours was cool in the sense that like there was a hidden room inside of the greater room that had to like find, like you know, you walk through a closet and find.
Ours was not in that. Like we had to communicate to the outside, like quote unquote outside world, and then we would receive communications back from them at periodic times.
Okay. I actually want to hear. So what were your two scenarios? Like like Thurbleton, what was your actual thing?
Like, I don't want to be too descriptive, just because like for anybody like saying what it is spoils the fun of it. But yeah, there's eight of us total, and like we immediately split up and like started just scouring the place. There was like a handful of locked things, and mm-hmm. so kind of like a video game puzzle, I guess. There was a set route of like these are the easier ones to discover that are just lying out in the open, mm-hmm. and then they lead to clues and puzzles that you then use to solve like the next set of stuff and the next set of stuff, and then it gets for like, you know, like a pyramid gets down to like, okay, then there's just like one or two puzzles left to solve and then you can escape.
But so main question here is like, so what is a puzzle? Is it like literally you fucking open like you take out a jacket from inside like a fucking thing, and inside the pocket is like a jigsaw puzzle, and on the back is like if you put the jigsaw puzzle together there's like a number for a safe on the other side. Like is that the kind of puzzle, or like what kind
there
of
was
puzzle
stuff like that in my place in my room, but there were also ones where you had to, you know, like align like a circular device and then use it to find multiple clues within separate books hidden around the room.
That's
and
sick.
Then like put that into a clock which has a bunch of dials, and then you get the right one, and then there are a bunch of stones that you have to weigh on like a thing to get which one's the equal weight. It was crazy, yeah.
Yeah, ours was much more electrical in that there was there's the stuff like there was a key inside a coat, and like that would unlock the analog stuff. But then there was a code that was alphanumeric instead of number. There were two locks that were numeric, and then one that was alphanumeric. That is to say, like, there were letters instead of numbers.
Right, yeah.
But then there was, like, I want to say, like, an 8x8 switchboard that we just had to have the right switches flicked that we found that out through another puzzle by, like, looking at a I've already mentioned it. Looking at a giant poster and then comparing that with something else.
Okay, yeah.
And then, like, so there's one team's working there while the other team, like, there could just be, like, one or two guys just trying brute force on some of this stuff because there's so many of us and we're, like, we got down to the puzzles. And then there was one that was you had to imagine a BioShock, like, the tube puzzle, but of puzzle pieces where you had to fill out a circuit. And then upon doing that, once they were all in the right orientation, the magnets matching the correct puzzle places would complete a circuit on the inside of the machine that would then open a panel.
Okay, cool.
And then would lead to the next part of the clue, but it was just like, oh, geez.
Huh, that's cool. And then, so how do you, my last question would be, like, how do you know you're done? How do you know you can get out?
It's like
considering the doors unlocked. Like, because the easy way is like, okay, the last thing you do is get the key for the door out. Like that would make sense.
Oh, so I don't know if you want to spoil yours, but mine's fine. It was essentially there was a lock that was locked to a bunch of philosopher's stones or whatever that had numbers on them, and we had a walkie-talkie, and we essentially told the guy, "Here, these are the numbers on the stones."
Yeah, ours. Okay. The way, assuming you succeeded. The way you left was different from the way you entered, and you had to there was a way of revealing a code to get out.
Okay, all right. And you had to say that like at the door or whatever, and they let you
out. Yes.
Okay.
Either you said it or you had to enter it. I think there was like a lock. We never got that far. It was explained to us.
All right. So, I guess where we're left is, so what went wrong?
We didn't solve it in time. It was a thing of the clues that were presented to us, we didn't make the connection in time. And right. Like, I was actually part of the team that we were just trying to brute solve the puzzle. And I think I was like two or three pieces off out of like 12 or 16. But like right. We had almost solved, like we'd solved the bulk of it. And they're just like, we don't know how these, it's like looking at it from afar. Someone could have noticed that, oh, these three pieces are off, but we didn't figure it out. And then from that, I think there were two more puzzles, but they were single interval ones. So it was ones that, like, once we solve that, the whole team just solves this one puzzle and then solves this next one puzzle.
Oh, you did one by one? Yeah.
It was like 3-3-2-1-1. I think were the total number of puzzles that, like, first set of three then leads to the next set of three and then leads to 2-1-1.
Okay, cool.
Like the best, like the coolest thing is, or has had like holes behind paintings and things like that to look through. Man. And things like that. But
when you went to also, so elaborate.
Which there was awesome. Also a magnet that you had to use to fish for a key in like a giant tub of water. That was cool.
Ours, the one of the coolest parts was we had to look off, like we were given, we saw a camera. See, I don't feel like this won't be just spoiling too much because you make this connection pretty quickly. You see an image, and then from the image you discern that that's a camera that's in the room, and then you have walk around the room, figure out where it is, and then from that you can figure out like what the next part of the clue is. And it was great. It's great.
That's cool. That sounds awesome. So wait, so what's it called and where is it again?
The website in Portland is 60 Minutes to Escape. And then this, like they have a word for it, but I can't remember. Like the puzzle that we did was called the Spark of Resistance. Like that was the name of the freedom fighters that you were in, because you're in this dystopian third world, like so Soviet-ish country,
yeah,
communist country, I guess, I don't know. But yeah, like that was the one of them. They're talking about adding more. And I know these things exist along the West Coast and the East Coast, like New York.
They're everywhere.
New York and San Francisco, yeah. Europe, Canada probably. So yeah, just look up to see if there's stuff like that, because it's a blast with friends.
They're not easy. They're meant to fail about half of the people.
Ours was a 75% failure rate.
Yeah, and ours was a 50%.
The fastest time, so you had an hour to solve. The fastest team to finish was 40 minutes. And that is including with hints. We were given hints at a set, like on a set increment.
See, so like apparently the people who did the best were 26 and then 32 minutes. Those people were like the people who traveled around Europe doing these things, like as on a competitive level. So they're not easy. They're not easy.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
That sounds like mad fun.
Yes. Yes, it is. There might be one in Sydney or Canberra.
There probably is definitely one in Sydney.
Yeah, I see. Like, I've never been up on the scene of like I forget what I guess you'd call them like real life theater or is it like a term for this?
It's called Mission Room Escape Sydney, and it's rated very well. It's called Mission or Mission Room Escape.
But yeah, like the. There's this new kind of genre of entertainment which is arising, which encompasses things like this and
like live theater, haunted houses. I guess.
Yeah, haunted houses, this, and there's a bunch of other things as well.
Interactive live theater.
Yeah, where like you're put into a world rather than watching it, and you kind of like have to actually move around and interact with people, interact with the actual world itself to gain the. To follow to actually progress in general. It's like putting you into a video game. Real life video games. That's the genre. yeah, it's pretty cool that they're helping. I don't know if you have any haunted houses, but now that I know we have a mission, like a room escape thing, that sounds
okay.
Cool.
The one apparently in Sydney is like a sort of a haunted house kind of thing.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Because like when I searched last time, I looked this kind of stuff up was like 2 years ago, and it didn't exist, or at least I couldn't.
Mission find
it.
Sydney, Vampire Castle, and Miss Doctor M. It's quite expensive.
Great.
That's cool.
So yeah, I think that'll round it for what we've been playing. I think we'll take a quick break and then jump into news topics, fly through that, and do the new plugs. So yeah. We'll be right back after this fancy music. Going to cover some news topics. Cynic, what news topics do we have?
Oh man, there's not much, thankfully. Yeah, I guess hoping for a short show, thankfully there isn't much news. The main ones this week are VR related, surprise surprise. Well, noting that this is news from the last 2 weeks, since we haven't been on since then. Nubarama,
yeah,
how much would you pay for an Oculus Rift?
$250.
Thurbleson, how much would you pay for an Oculus Rift?
$1, Bob. No. I think I would, like, realistically, with... I'm expecting to pay about $400 for the Morpheus. I think they actually said that it's going to be comparable to its own console.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
So, yeah, like, you know, around that range.
Yeah, it's... And that is probably the right way to approach this, because... Paul Malarkey has been out and doing his thing around town, and he's stated for FYI purposes, essentially, that the Oculus Rift will be, because they're no longer using off-the-shelf parts, specifically they were previously using like Samsung Galaxy S3 screens in there and stuff like that, or Galaxy Note 3. They're now switching up to actually using pretty much every part in it is custom. And because of that, they no longer have that ability to work with an existing off-the-shelf, like mass-produced tech, so prices are going to inevitably go up to the point where we're looking at a minimum of $350 for an Oculus Rift.
I'm actually curious what this means for HTC Vive, like the Steam VR thing, yeah. Because that is made by a phone company.
Yeah, and it's using, I believe that is using... Well, are they both using two individual screens inside? Like, that's the kind of idea, right? They both have one dedicated screen for each eye?
I think so. I'm not actually sure. It's using Magic.
I'm pretty sure, like, the Magic involved includes a dedicated screen for each eye. And, so HTC, being a phone manufacturer, I wouldn't be surprised if they have some sweet-ass sweet deals on their screens, and that's... It was really smart for them to be the manufacturer of the Vive, the HTC Vive. Like reports about it are getting more and more mixed as time goes on, but it's sounding like that is going to be a really good way to keep the price down. Whereas if you're going this way with no longer working directly with off the shelf Samsung parts. It sounds like it could be pretty expensive. Like $350 is a kind of way I thought it would be. I thought it would be at $350. I didn't expect it to be higher. But with a statement like greater than $350, like noob, like with your $250 mark, like when is this just like a deal breaker for you internally?
Well, because like the second they're like you need a 970 to play most games, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna have to get it like a 970 or comparable. So like. That was $250 excluding a graphics card update. But now that it's $350 and then also a graphics card update, that's a lot less of a palatable purchase for me making. Yeah. And especially going in with the knowledge that this is probably not going to be the ideal or the best VR platform.
Yeah. Well, what, Oculus Rift, really?
I always thought the Vibe was going to be...
Well, it's again, like reports about it are changing now. Like now that more and more people are getting access to different events, it's sounding like Oculus has caught up, if not like maybe because of touch, even has a better experience. That's like the general like thing that's coming out nowadays is that like we're really getting to the point where Oculus seems like it's going to be the number one stunner.
Yeah. And it's also coming out first.
Yeah.
When is it coming out? I completely forgot.
They're both early next year, I believe. I think apart from like maybe some phone variants, which we might hear about later, nothing's coming out this year. HTC Vive was originally slated for late this year, but they pushed it back.
Yeah. So I guess, would you see, do you think you're just going to step out of the first run of VR and
I might
do the smart thing?
I might wait it out. I mean, I don't need VR now. I think I'll have VR. I'll definitely, for sure, at some point next year. I'm going to put that, my foot down and say 2016 is when I'm getting it. I might wait on it. Because I don't know. Getting a new card.
It's a catch 22 because if everyone does the smart play and waits until second generation, they aren't going to make enough. Like the people banking it won't think there will be enough interest and aren't going to like. It's how far down are the investors going to follow this?
Right.
Because so far it's been the smoke and mirrors of like everyone says, oh, this is the greatest thing. This is the greatest thing. But there hasn't been like a ton. Like we've seen bits and pieces of like people making stuff, but we haven't seen anything like real apart from CNN political things and pop artists. Like,
well,
shows.
I mean, like I don't know about holding off on VR as a whole, but I mean like. Oculus is probably not going to be my first foray, maybe what I'm trying to say. It's not going to be the Rift. Mostly because, like, proprietary Steam support is always a plus, considering that I'm at a point, and most of my friends are too, where, like, not if it's not a big Battlefield kind of game, and it's not on Steam, it's not a game worth getting for me at this point.
Like I just think it's kind of strange. And Cynic, I'd love to hear your stance on it. But just from the three of us, especially because I was one of the one who got the dev kit, I'm not going to be getting a Oculus off the bat. I'll be getting a Morpheus probably, a PlayStation VR.
Yeah.
Which I'm just still going to keep calling a Morpheus. I like that better.
sounds better.
Noob's going with the Valve version. What are you going to go with, do you think?
So... it's getting tough now because I definitely want a VR headset, and it's got to the point where I was literally like Googling secondhand DK2s to see if I can get one of those. And no, everyone in Australia is an asshole, and they're selling them for like $700 because so fuck that. So it was definitely one of those things where I am tired of waiting. For VR, especially since so many people have actually tried it out there by now, it's starting to feel like I'm just like missing out on the fun.
I mean,
even though,
but I mean, you have to realize that the stuff that's available is there's not a lot of stuff available currently.
Exactly
for VR as a platform,
pretty much. So here's the thing, right? If Summer Lesson gets released in any form whatsoever, goddamn ever, I'm going to be buying.
See, the thing is, okay, the one question I always have, and I can't find it, right, is what's like the – can I play Summer Lesson on my Vive, or is it – does it have to be Oculus? Or, I'm not even joking. That's the game, and it's you know, 18-plus offshoots that I'm like
– Oh, it's that's Sony only at the moment.
I'm getting a Morpheus. No, I don't – what is Summer Lesson?
I don't have a PS4. I'm not buying a PS4 for Summer Vive.
I
survive.
Don't
like,
summer lesson, whatever. But I mean, there are
like
already.
I think it might be the Tekken team, or it might be like the fucking Dead or Alive team. I forget. One of the fighting games.
Oh, that's the like schoolgirl teaching her Japanese or whatever.
Wait,
thing.
So you play a Japanese teacher, and you have two options that we know of so far, because hopefully they announce more. Where. You of girls and you're
go on.
Okay, the thing is,
part-time, and you pick one of them per day, I think, and you teach them either you teach the Japanese girl English or you teach the American girl Japanese. That's the game.
Right. The thing is, right, you know this, and this is true, that the PS4 is not going to be the platform for the ultimate level of these games. Oh, I'm just going to say that. I'm going to say that right there. It's not going to be the platform for somebody who wants a little more than using their imaginations.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Like that is definitely something that's reserved for the PC.
But what I want to know is what kind of sort of cross-platform, I can't even speak right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm drooling.
Cross,
it should be a lot.
Cross-plat-porn?
Cross-platform kind of...
In terms of these Japanese games, like, you're probably not going to see much. Like, most of it is just going to go PS4. Like,
See, you're looking at this all-ages version of the market. I'm looking at a different section of the market. Japanese porn games aside, I want to know, like, if, you know, a AAA release, or not even a AAA, but just like a regular game comes out on Steam or on another platform other than the PS4, is there going to be a specific reason to buy one or the other in terms of game compatibility?
You're not wrong, Noob, with what you're saying, like, on the grand scheme of things. It's like the running joke was back when Blu-rays or HD DVDs were a thing of, yeah, if anybody doesn't remember, there was a thing called HD DVD. The winner of that was to be decided by the porn industry. Whichever one they sided with would be the one that would prevail, and Blu-rays won.
But, I think, like, VR is even more of a case, because unlike Blu-ray porn, it's VR porn is less likely to be like spot, you know, the scars from syphilis or something like that. It's going to be more of a different experience.
Like, in terms of actual real-ass motherfucking video games, I still stand by the statement. Like, the Japanese real-ass motherfucking video games will be...
I'm not talking about Japanese real-ass video games. I'm talking about real-ass video games in general on the PC as a platform. Is there... do you think developers are going to take a side between the Oculus and the Vive being like...
100% yes.
Pardon?
100% yes.
Fuck.
Mainly because... Oculus is pushing for exclusive deals, and Valve is going to be the Valve games probably won't come to Oculus, at least at the start, unless Valve is this, like,
see, but if you're saying that it will be an exclusive thing where games are going to be forced to choose, if you want the full VR experience, you're going to have to do one or the other. I think I'd side with Valve on that one, not because of the Facebook money, but specifically because they already have an essential monopoly on the platform of the PC as a whole, right? I could totally see Valve being like, hey, you know, already games like Skyrim, hundreds of games are in the Steam Workshop platform for pushing mods, for pushing paid content. Mm-hmm. And the next Fallout is probably going to be the first instance of Valve pushing their paid mods or whatever, etc. It's going to be integrated with whatever. I mean, it just seems like it makes sense that this just is a logical next step of the Steam Workshop, of Steam Cloud, Steam integration, where, you know, already a lot of new games are saving their save games through Steam.
Yeah.
I mean, like, yes, but at the same time, I mean, for the more, let's just say, indie stuff, yeah, they'll go to their own corners. But for actual, like, people trying to, like, businesses trying to make money, they're going to build to the least common denominator, at least starting off. Like, I think it's going to sound a lot like the console wars as well. Like, if there is any sense of competition, I think just starting off, everyone's just going to want to make for everybody, just so, like, hopefully these things will take off.
Yes. Like, starting off, like, aside from actually bought and paid for exclusives, like Oculus is doing, like, Oculus has made it seem like pretty much every game they've shown so far is an exclusive to Oculus. Like, the only ones that were the ones that clearly defined themselves as not. Like, Eve Valkyrie is clearly defined as being multi-platform, right? But, like, in many cases, Oculus is buying exclusivity. But aside from those, every other game is going to be on as many things as possible, except for the things made by Sony Studios, which is going to be a lot of things. Like, Gran Turismo The next Gran Turismo game is going to be fucking VR compatible.
Oh, man.
Amazing.
But I mean, but for Sony, to a certain degree, they're kind of out of the race in the sense that their platform is purely exclusive. Like Oculus and Vive are the more direct competitors out of the
yes.
two.
Yes. But in terms of...
I mean, is this going to be a situation where it's like owning two consoles? Like, I'll have to own both of these things?
Exactly. This is the Wii situation. Oh, this is like you have a PC and a PS4. And the PS4 is essentially filling that position of the Wii did last generation, where you have a 360 or PS3 and you have a Wii. Because that's where you play the Nintendo games. But in this case, that's where you play the VR games. The exclusive VR games. So like, yes. And it could definitely also go in the way of, hey, not only like literally your conundrum, which is the Rift is going to be fucking $400 and is going to require you to have a massive video card, which most people don't have. So like it's going to be like $1,000 investment like to get up to standard.
I should have just spent $50 more and bought the 97 or
you're an idiot. I told you this. Like
everyone was like, oh, you're playing games at 1080p, right? It's fine. It's fucking fine. Just get the 960.
The people you were talking to were dumb because
no, I was on a budget to be fair. That $50 was make or break. It was like I spent that money on an SST as my boot drive instead of a 960.
I would have rather had gotten a normal fucking hard drive and a better graphics card in that case. Just
also
because
like five hard drives, but yeah.
Yeah, just because like we're literally at that knife edge where VR is about to come out.
I mean, I'll get the next generation.
Stupid to buy something.
I'll get the next generation cards and it'll be fine. Yeah. But what I'm pissed. Well, also, and going back to the weird pervert Japanese games, like that PC 18 plus market is currently cornered by Oculus.
Yeah, it is. 100%. Yeah. Which is fine. Like it's. So yeah, it's going to be a thing. Like you're going to buy the Oculus, i.e. the 360, or the HTC Vive, i.e. the PS3, and a Wii, i.e. the PS4. Like it's going to be one of those two big hitters and a PS4. If you want to get like the largest breadth of VR.
But I mean, I don't think it's a direct comparison because a lot of games are not VR exclusive, right?
I don't know. We don't really know, right? Like it's.
Well, I mean, coming into this, I mean, like, what
I mean,
matters?
Like many developers
I mean,
said that
most people are not going to be thinking that long term ahead when they're buying the first iterations of these platforms, right? I mean, you're really, I think, realistically, it's about maybe a 3-4 year life cycle before the next one, if not shorter, for each of these sets, right?
They should do like yearly or at worst bi-yearly. It has to be. We need that iteration process because. Like in every interview you hear, like they want it to be even better. Like they,
I mean, the problem is it's not. If it was a $250, $300 for like price point, a yearly thing wouldn't be a problem. But yeah. if you're having people shell out $450 before tax, right?
$400. Then it's fucked up. Like it's not like a phone where it's like essential to modern living.
Right, and also you have a way to pay for it other than a lump sum.
Yeah, exactly. Like you can have that on a plan. And now, like with the really good new Apple thing, like you can get that upgrade fucking thing every year, and that's awesome. Unless Oculus wants to come out with something like that, which would be fucking incredible.
Which, also, quick aside, just quick update for folks. Squiddle has a 6 phone or an i6, i6s.
Does he have a job yet? Does he have a job yet? Okay, yes, job.
Yeah, I don't want it. He also is employed.
That's defensible.
Awesome.
It's defensible now. It's defensible.
Or soon, yeah.
Completely defensible.
No, because he got the phone before he was employed.
Oh, yeah, but now that he's employed, everything, bygones, it's.
Retroactively, everything's fine.
Okay. Yeah,
everything's fine. Yeah, it all worked out.
Now, if he wasn't employed, we'd now be cursing him, but he's employed. So
yeah.
But going back, like. A lot of games that are not VR compatible have been getting VR compatibility patches community made. Does that open up a venue of most games you will be able to choose between the two in the sense that even if they're not open-ended for both the Vive and
community
the
will patch options, it.
A community will patch it. Because I'm curious how big of a difference like the platform is like in terms of coding.
So
if it's good enough, it's easy enough that a community member can make it from scratch, not even converting from VR to VR.
Well, so here's the thing, right? On PC, it's going to be relatively fine for this first iteration.
Yeah.
Specifically in that, like, in terms of graphical power languages used, it doesn't seem to be as a person who doesn't actually do the code himself, there doesn't actually seem to be any major problems switching between the two, especially if they both start being supported by Unity and UE4. Like that's the real breaking point. Like, are they compatible with Unity? Are they compatible with UE4? In terms of people patching it, that's always like a weird gray area that none of us understand anyway. They're all wizards.
Well, I mean, it's like in games like Grand Theft Auto 5, you already have patching coming out within weeks of game release.
Yeah, and so but they're crazy wizard people who we don't understand. Like they speak in tongues. Like we don't understand. Like I don't know how hard that would be, right? But more importantly, that compatibility only exists for this first year. The first iteration of the Oculus is coming out with a Xbox One controller, which means it'll essentially work with anything. You just have to figure out how to make the visuals work.
Right.
But when it starts being packaged with the touch, that's a significant and distinctive point of diversion.
Yeah.
Right. Like, because the HTC Vive controller will not be able to do what the touch can do. It's literally like a Wiimote kind of thing from before, where Morpheus and HTC Vive will be able to have very similar experiences because the Move controller is essentially the prototype upon which the HTC Vive was designed. But that touch thing is unique.
That's fucking stressful. Oh, this is so stressful. Why purchases for video games shouldn't make my brain hurt so much?
So to answer your question, Thurbleton, like, to wrap this whole fucking thing back around, I'll probably get the Morpheus only because that's the only place you'll find the weird Japanese games.
So you're not going to get Oculus or Vive?
Oh, no. But remember, I was originally planning to get all three.
Yeah.
But originally, one was supposed to come out this year. Now that they're all coming out around the same time, I can actually go, well, there's no longer like this wanting to get into the VR thing quickly part of it. They're all coming out around the same time. There wasn't, like, before, I wanted to get the Vive this year, partially because it was the first one out. And I wanted to go, yeah, I want to just fucking stop waiting and try out this whole VR thing.
I think you guys are crazy for going for the Morpheus instead of the Rift or the Vive.
It's not about the quality of the hardware. It's about the quality of the games.
That's what I mean. Like,
I think the games on fucking the PS4 will be way more compelling.
So 2 points. One, game designer has said that you can't just – I mean, like, fans have made patches of, like, Arma or what have you for – VR, but it doesn't work with every case. And for like, you know,
oh, for sure,
I'd say 10% of the time it doesn't work at all. 8% of the time it shouldn't work that well. I mean, it does, but it's not the best. And then for 10%, the last 10, it's great. I really like 80-10-10. Weird. Anyway, yeah. Games for VR have to be designed from the ground up for VR. That being so, like, I wouldn't be surprised if there's tons of fan conversions of VR, like, for VR games for PC. I can just use, like, DS for, like, put a driver on my computer and use my PlayStation controller. What makes you think I won't be doing that for my Morpheus as well?
What do you mean?
What makes you think some fan or some group isn't going to make drivers for Morpheus for PC?
Oh, right.
All I have to do is I'll get the Morpheus and I'll get the PlayStation stuff off the bat.
You have to assume that the PC adopts Morpheus as its primary VR platform, which is highly unlikely.
I don't think it's going to adopt it as the primary VR platform. Like, they're going to have two others.
I don't
even
think it will be the secondary VR platform for PC gamers.
It doesn't have to be the second. Like, I mean,
no, but that specifically goes to that most patches will be for the Vive or for the Oculus.
I mean, like, I think those are going to be official patches, whereas the fans might do, like, I don't know. It.
Let me just run through game. Like, I guess the reason is we also all play different games.
Yeah, it's a thing of, like, I don't see this as a single, like,
yeah, like,
it's not going to be the official, like, the official PC magazine isn't going to release the driver sort of thing. It's going to, like, there's emulators for every type of console. Like, there's Dolphin, but then there's also stuff for old Xbox stuff. Like, on PC.
But here's the thing. I just sort of want to point this out. Like, yes, Sony did say that the Morpheus is going to be priced like a new console. But considering they're slashing the fucking PS4 price down to $350, they would be goddamn crazy to have the Morpheus at the same price as the actual PS4. I would be surprised if what he meant was something like a handheld price, so it's like $250-$300. Like I will eat a like bowl full of carbs if fucking they put out the Morpheus at $300 or $350. Like $350 would be ridiculous. $300 is maybe. I am still thinking that.
Okay, here's an example. How much was the Kinect on release?
$200.
It will be more expensive than the Kinect.
Well, the Kinect was also crazy prices. Like no one bought it at $200.
Yeah, nobody bought the Kinect. You're right.
Yeah,
but
So Sony's playing this pretty smart and they're using low end tech. Like it's a 1080p panel in that thing.
I mean,
so if it's the one that's $250 and everyone fucking owns one, it could definitely get the fan patch support. Like that could be why that happens. Like HTC Vive might just straight up motherfucking die if everyone has a Morpheus. If it's $250.
People who do fan patches are fucking PC fanboys.
It's true.
I don't know. I don't know because also part of it is in terms of the current game that's really pushing me towards Oculus. Is because they had that DK2 and a lot of flight sims, a lot of like military sims have official DK2 patches already.
Yeah. DCS. Oculus has done this the right way. They've had fucking development kits out for years and it's given people a good chance to A, get used to technology, but B, like start the design iteration process of like how to make a good VR game. That was like incredibly smart, incredibly good, like useful approach, and I think Valve is being fucking balls to the wall crazy by being so like.
Well, I think their development started at a way later timetable.
Also. Yes,
so yeah. It is out of necessity, I'm sure, more than
anything. And yeah, Doubleton being so goddamn Valve, Valve should stop being so goddamn Valve about it, and then start actually getting with the times and realizing that they're not A, they haven't put out a fucking good game for like a good single player / like game-changing game in quite a while.
Well, that's just because they haven't released anything.
Exactly. They're no longer fucking like they are iterating. Their best product is an iteration on a game that was a mod for a game in fucking the early 2000s. Like they haven't
Portal 1 was.
But that wasn't like that's not core. Like the Portal team wasn't core Valve until they made Portal.
But core Valve isn't just Half-Life. Core Valve is also.
What the fuck
TF2.
Else is it?
And now yeah, Core TF2. Valve is more
Thank
Dota
you,
2.
That was
Core Valve
years
is Counter Strike. Core Valve is Dota 2.
Those exactly. So no like new interesting shit.
No, I mean, they don't do single player games anymore. They just don't. That's
yeah.
Just
I mean, like you're not like, wrong. No like they haven't released a game in like a hallmark change the industry game since.
Than CS:GO and Dota 2, yeah.
That's what I mean. Like,
hold up a second.
Products.
They
those
haven't
are
done
old
that.
Fucking products that'd be reiterated.
They haven't done that since they created Steam.
Yeah.
Like
which was fucking early 2000s.
Yeah, right? But now they're just making tons of money.
They just make tons of money. They don't care.
And you're
they
right.
No
CS:GO and Dota 2 are not like iterations, but they're making tons of money.
Dota 2 is MOBAs.
But this is not like their.
I wish Mitch was on here because he would just say no. Yeah.
Well, their financial success
Legends,
has
his opinion
nothing
is just
to do.
Wrong.
Their financial success has nothing to do with whether their products will be good, like straight up, and whether their game library will be like remotely interesting. Like that has nothing to do. Like I don't care
well,
how successful.
What has to do with it is Steam is the predominant PC gaming platform. And that will have a lot to do.
No,
with exactly
that doesn't have anything to do with it either. If there's only one place to get good VR games, that's where people will go for their VR games. It doesn't matter.
Well, I'm
fucking
just saying,
how big.
By having a platform that has the majority of sales on the PC gaming market, I'm just saying they have a very good existing structure to push out and industry.
But that doesn't matter. Like if people are already like getting into something absolutely brand new with VR. Like there's a
no,
reason.
No, but I'm just saying if games are already integrated with Steamworks, I'm saying the jump to Vive isn't that crazy, is what I'm trying
but
to
it
say.
Won't but that won't matter if it doesn't have any good games.
No, but I'm just saying it will help let them get good games. I'm not saying whether or not that the games are going to be good or not.
Will it help them get good games? It'll help them get mods. It'll help them get like more like.
Here's an example. Sky Valve or Bethesda games. They you have to, a lot of AAA games that are being released, you have to have Steam to play them. Like, they're only.
When do you think there'll be a, like, a actual official VR game by Bethesda? Fucking 2019, 2020?
I think there will be rolling support for existing games. That's what I think.
I don't think Bethesda's going to. I think the fans are going to do that. I can't wait to play Fallout in VR. That's going to happen. Like, that's going to fucking happen. Yeah. Fallout 4 VR is obvious, and that's going to be amazing, but
that's what I'm saying.
Bethesda who does it.
I don't know.
It will not be Bethesda.
I'm
going to call it right goddamn.
I don't know.
And even if they do, the fan patch will probably be better.
I don't know.
Anyway.
We don't know, but that's our VR news, the pricing of VR.
Yeah, well, one more thing.
Oh, okay.
Say that's too expensive. $350 is too expensive for the Oculus Rift. The new Gear VR is actually, which you slap onto your Samsung phone, which pretty much everyone has now, is $99. And that's incredibly attractive price for something that's supposedly a really good experience for VR. Apparently having the processor and the screen in the one device kind of really makes it work.
Are they still with Oculus? Which is sort of weird.
Yeah. Yeah. So Samsung partnered with Oculus for the Gear VR, which is now being adapted to work with pretty much every version of the S6 range. So Note and
S6 Edge.
Yes. Note. So Galaxy Note, Galaxy X6, Galaxy X6 Edge all work in it. It's got throughput of power now, so you can stay in VR longer if you don't mind being tethered. Literally the only thing wrong with it is, especially if you have like a Note with a really big screen, apparently the screen quality is fantastic. It's the thing John Carmack's been working on. Like, this is his baby. So like, they're really pushing like the boundaries of what's possible on those really low end processors, like the ARM chips in these phones. But like, more importantly, like, it's just $99 plus the phone you probably already have is a incredibly attractive proposition. Like, that is awesome. Noob, if you couldn't get an Oculus,
would you consider? I'm probably going to get an Oculus.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I say, like, I can't afford it now, but I'll probably find a way.
We'll make
it work.
We're PC gamers. Like, that'll happen. Like, just gamers in general will find a way.
I mean, it's a big enough hobby for me that it's not that crazy being like, yeah.
Yeah.
I could definitely see
myself getting a Gear VR. Apparently it's the same features as the existing VR, which is currently retailing for $299, I believe, but then now down to $99. And that is sick. It's a really attractive price for a very feature-rich product that could have really cool VR experiences, especially now that Netflix and stuff are coming to VR, which could be interesting.
It's pretty fucking crazy that Summer Lesson, I can't play it. That's insane.
I know. Oh, my God. I don't think anyone expected the amount of, like, semi-ironic, semi-really creepy love that game.
But I think everybody who's being ironic is actually wants to play that game. I think
everyone wants to play that game. Like, it's yeah. Austin puts it a really interesting way in that it's a game that for most people will be their first game ever that's like that. That's like a game capable of making you feel uncomfortable in a sexual way, for like in to that level of intimacy. Like, that you can always, like,
I'm just gonna say, like, Love Plus virtual reality, it's over.
Yeah,
it's over,
like,
man.
A real, like, game that spans.
I'm gonna get rid of all of my fucking female friends. Fuck. Fuck that.
Like, VR girls are way easier to deal with.
Oh, yeah.
You just turn it off when they start pissing you. And yeah, they like you more, you know? Like, they respect you.
They don't fucking scream. They can't call the police. My parole officer isn't gonna get mad. It's like a trifecta of, like, everything's going to be okay.
ETA 2, Summer Listen, PS4.
Shit, how much is a PS4? I'm trying to calculate this.
But yeah, like, Summer Listen, this is the package. One copy of Summer Listen, a PS4, a PlayStation VR headset, and a fleshlight.
Okay, the thing is, you already have games on the PC. where Fleshlight is integrated into the game. You can connect your Fleshlight via
USB. As if there isn't like a USB fucking Fleshlight.
That's what I'm saying. It exists. A USB Fleshlight exists.
Okay. All right.
Cynic, in this dark dystopian VR future, is there a way to use like maybe nanomachines to augment your vision?
Nice. Moving on to the last piece of second last piece of news this week. Thankfully heading off that really dark turn of this conversation.
I was thinking of a way. I was trying to pray in for
this conversation's coming back. This conversation's coming back.
Maybe
once
after
Cynic gets
Deus Ex augments.
So Deus Ex augment your pre-order, which we've had fun talk, like me and Noob, it was in the me and Noob special. We chatted about it. Noobarama. I assume you never ended up augmenting your pre-order.
No, I did not augment my pre-order. No, I did not. I would augment my Summer Lesson pre-order, but Deus Ex,
yeah,
they did not sell their augmentation.
I don't think buying a Fleshlight with Summer Lesson is
the
same.
It's like the way they sold their augmentation is like it's some creepy person in an alley trying to sell you like a pair of kidneys. It's just – it poisoned the transaction,
yes,
to say.
Yeah. So – if you out there did think it was a good idea, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. Not only for your taste and your sensibilities in life, but also the fact that they've canceled the whole shenanigan.
They canceled the gamification of pre-ordering, and so now you just have your pre-order.
Now it's just a normal fucking pre-order. And
I really enjoyed the like veil being lifted from Austin's eyes on the Beastcast when that revelation hit him.
Where he's like, oh, this is a good thing. Wait a second. No, it's not.
I just got bamboozled.
They just turned it fucking around. They got him. They got one over on him. They made him think that this is ultimately a good thing. No, pre-ordered bonuses are still goddamn evil. But now everyone gets them. And I think the game has indeed been moved to its 4 days early date. Further proving that it was all a sham.
Yeah, it was all a fucking sham.
Oh, fuck you, Ubisoft. Ubisoft reminds me of Nintendo in a lot of ways. They seem
really?
Like... they make really good games sometimes. And not for everyone, sure, but yeah, they got really good games. And... they make.
When was
really
the last time Nintendo made an original game?
Splatoon?
When was the last time Ubisoft made an original game?
They haven't made an original. They're purely making money off of the estate of Tom Clancy and Assassin's Creed.
Assassin's Creed, yeah. There you go. And fucking Watch Dogs didn't go anywhere, so whatever. The Division looks cool. But then again, like, fucking Zelda looks cool, so I don't know. Anyway, so yes, that's not happening anymore. Thank God. And also, the world's still doomed. the last piece of news for the week is Noobarama.
Yeah.
I remember...
I know, that's why I posted it, because I knew you would remember.
I remember having a discussion with you.
The announcement came after...
I know.
Get your smug face out of my... earphones, okay?
But, like, I feel vindicated.
What? No, because at the time when you said it, you were wrong.
I know, I was blatantly incorrect.
Yeah, you were blatantly incorrect. So this just vindicates me in saying that you were wrong to make that prediction at
the
time.
I know, but it was also one of those things where, in my heart, I was like, there's no way this game's coming out this year.
So Hitman got delayed to March, which... happens to be the exact day, like month, that Cynic said it would be.
Yeah.
So I don't even know how, but
I didn't know anything before. It seemed like that felt right, and that's what they did. That they did what felt right. But the problem is, March is goddamn jam packed with video games. Yeah. It is not making March.
It comes out on the same day as what is it called? The Division. So good luck to this game.
Yeah.
Good luck to you, sir. Good luck. Good luck. Oh, no. It's March 2016. It's just March 2016.
Okay, all right. No date.
The same month as Division.
Yeah.
And it will be after Division unless it happens to come out on March 6th or March 4th.
Like, there's no goddamn way that game is coming out that
much. It went from a, like, December was pretty empty, I think. It was November that was the real kill.
Yeah, but November is the year, like, the month after fucking, yeah, it's after, the month after Fallout is still a shitty month to be at.
But, I mean, it's better than a week after a massive MMO release, right? A multi-platform MMO release.
Yes.
That has a huge hype train attached to it. Yeah.
Well, but also, like, I don't know how you are still hyped for the Division, mainly because it's a Ubisoft game that's probably going to be shit and broken, right?
Like, I think once the hype train starts rolling in about December, that game is going to be mad because it still looks
good,
very very good.
Yeah, it still looks good, but it's like fucking
no. But you have to compare. I mean, I'm not talking about Division objectively. I'm talking about Division relative to Hitman. I mean, what game?
Oh, yeah. There's, oh, my God. Hitman, A, was only ever for people like you who loved Hitman in the first place. Yeah. Right.
Hitman Absolution did not gain the Hitman franchise any fans, essentially. No. So the people who are excited for Hitman are the people who've played Hitman on the PC. So yes. Insane people.
Yeah.
And so insane people are also excited for fucking The Division. So good luck to you.
No, The Division's actually like this fucking really big fucking hype train that
Oh, I know, but insane people are also excited for The Division.
Oh, yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah.
So everyone, just like, what the hell's the market for Hitman on its own is my question.
None. It's not
It'd be better for them to delay it. It'd be better for them to delay it.
They would be crazy to come out in March. Like, they might just do it because fuck it, get out of the fucking door. It's been in development forever. But
that doesn't say a lot about how good this game is if they did that.
Well, they delayed it too, for quality reasons.
Oh, sorry. Also, Uncharted 4 coming out. I forgot about that.
Like, fucking Street Game of the Year 5. Contender. Two Game of the Year contenders are coming out back-to-back that month. Like, you don't want to be there. You do not want to be anywhere fucking near that much. Like,
so it's 3 days after Tom Clancy's The Division, according to Wikipedia. And it's exactly a week before Uncharted 4.
But you know what? It's a $40 game, right? Like, it could.
It was a $40 game that was sold as essentially, here's a sort of uncompleted game, but we'll be giving you free releases as we update the game every year.
Now it's going to be sold like, it's still an uncompleted game, but those free releases will be like a little bit closer to the release.
Oh, great.
That's the only difference. That's the only fucking difference. I think that's the thing. Something goddamn DOA. Like, it's that could be another Tony Hawk fucking situation.
I don't know. I don't know what the room for this game existing is. And even Deus Ex, right, comes near the end of February, too. XCOM beginning of February.
Yeah.
Quantum Break beginning of April.
I mean, that's already got delayed once. XCOM.
Yeah, XCOM, yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, it's the start of next year is like one of the most packed starts of a year. At the moment, one of the most packed starts of the year.
And it's not even start. They managed to pick like the exact month when big games are hitting. The exact same month. Is there like a launch window when Xbox?
I think it's going to do with financial year, right?
Nearest to the Earth. What is this?
Isn't that when the financial year rolls around? Like, they want to get it out.
Yeah, end of Q1. First quarter. Yeah, end of Q1.
Yeah, that's why they're doing it. But they're idiots because everyone's doing the same goddamn thing, and they're all being stupid. Like, only like all those games. You're right. Like, fucking just only Division and Uncharted have enough clout to actually own that month.
Yeah, like what I'm looking at. Entire April or July or essentially June to September. The biggest game coming out is Mario and Sonic at the Rio 2016 Olympic Games. Maybe that's a better spot to launch your fucking game, isn't it?
I don't know, man. Persona 5 might be coming out around then. No, that was a total. Talk about different audiences. Yes, you're right. Like, in terms of that audience, that Hitman audience, June, July is the best time of the year.
God, Jesus Christ. Fucking, what's wrong with these people? What's wrong with these people?
That's it for news, Stapleton.
Yeah.
That's all we got.
And that is all we got.
I can't – why? And it's like your projection of it coming out in March was like the worst possible thing.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
I felt that warm fuzzy when I was like so right about that. Even though I was wrong, I was kind of right, which was awesome. Because Square Enix like literally had just put out a fucking press release saying like people don't want unfinished games. And like 2 weeks later, delayed Hitman.
But they're just sending out an unfinished game slightly later than it
Yeah.
Would.
pretty much, like, I don't think they even understand. It's still Square Enix. We're still talking about Square Enix here. Like, they still haven't they still don't understand what the fuck they're doing.
Cynic, you have any plugs?
I have lots of plugs. I have three plugs this week. One is, speaking of VR, which we have been for most of this episode, John Carmack. So this was plugged by Drew, I think it was, or Brad, a couple months ago on the Bombcast, but only recently got around to watching it, and he was totally right. It is a fascinating watch. So John Carmack did a speech at the University of Texas. It's up on YouTube. It's about an hour and a half long. It's about VR and the problems and, in general, like, just like things in terms of design, etc., that are being considered now that we're finally getting into the VR world, the VR future. It is incredibly interesting to listen to. I can listen to that guy talk all day, but that guy is a wealth of knowledge, and it's great. So look it up on YouTube. Just look up John Carmack VR or John Carmack University of Texas. It will probably come up. Definitely worth a watch. The second plug I have of the week is what I mentioned earlier in the show, The Martian. It's the book by Andy Weir. You may have heard about it on Tested. Will Smith's, no longer Will Smith, Norman Chan's Tested.com, also starring the Mythbusters crew. it is the best sci-fi of the last, I'd say, 5 to 10 years. The best sci-fi book to come out. And there's a reason it got a movie adaptation. I would say probably read the book first, but people who love the book always say that, so take it for that, that's worth. And finally, another book plug. Jim Butcher, my favorite author, or second favorite author at the moment, who writes The Dresden Files, is starting a new series of books, the first of which just came out. Think Firefly meets steampunk, and that you've got the book. It's called The Aeronauts Windlass, and it's Jim Butcher. So that's available now in anywhere you'd buy books.
Nice. New Brahma?
I just remembered why Fallout game Doom or Dishonored is not going to be on Oculus Rift, and it never will be.
Why?
Because ZeniMax is still suing Oculus for hundreds of millions of dollars. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
It could be a fan patch.
It could be a fan patch.
Maybe. Yeah. But it won't be.
Some ghost fan patch by John Carmack under a pseudonym.
I don't think it's going to be uploaded on the official Fallout mod database. It's probably not going to be there.
But any plugs, Noob?
PC Gaming Hub.
Yeah, okay.
It'll be on Nexus for Fallout. That'll happen.
Yeah, maybe. Fuck, I'm probably gonna get a Rift. That pisses me off.
Of course you are. Don't be crazy. Oh my god. But don't
I'm gonna get like the bare minimum. I'm gonna get the bare minimum.
Do not
like,
get
upgrade.
A high end from this generation of cards. Because
no. Like I'm gonna get like. Like the 970 equivalent of this generation or the next generation, and then I'm gonna fucking splurge. I'm gonna have to like, rather than paying for food or something, I'm gonna be using a VR, eating virtual food. That's probably what I'll be doing.
Well, you're gonna get your actual like scholarship money, aren't you? At that point,
The question is, can I hold on to my scholarship money for like 6 months? No. Then again, later. Actually, what am I saying? Later in that year, I'll be earning money as part. Yeah. So about $1,000.
You will have you exactly. The question is, how much money will you spend on the first gen of VR? Because I'm going to buy the headset, but not a graphics card.
Yeah. To be fair, if I have like one meal a day for a week, I could buy both of those things.
For 1 week. So yeah, if you use your brain and actually fucking save up a little bit over a long time.
Yeah. That's hard. There's stuff I want to buy now, like Dota 2 compendiums.
I just spent all my VR money on bills. That just happened this week.
I just realized if I never spent a cent on SWTOR, I could buy just an Oculus Rift.
I really just want to play out to this conversation, but also I I got to throw my plugs in as well on the same topic as The Martian, just in terms of like in terms of books and John Carmack, Masters of Doom. Like there are not a lot of really good video game books biographies or whatnot, but Masters of Doom is a really good one about the two Johns, Carmack and God, I can't remember the other John's name.
Vignacchi.
No, not Vignacchi. The two guys, the two Johns who were the pioneers of Doom.
Travolta? No.
It's not Travolta.
He has long hair like Travolta in that movie. But John...
Drake.
No,
John Drake.
I'll look this up. But that is one plug. And then also to look up Room Escapes. To anybody interested in Room Escapes, John Romero, by the way.
John Romero. There you
yes.
go.
Yeah. He has long hair.
Yes, yes, he does. For the Room Escape thing, though, anybody in the Midwest, I know they're specifically at Gen Con, but I think they do other stuff. But True Dungeon, if you enjoy the fantasy side of it, like New was talking about in Europe, there, like True Dungeon is very similar to Room Escape in like kind of fantasy themed. So that's another really cool thing.
That sounds hella awesome.
I'd want to like plug the Eve history book. I'm probably going to order that this weekend, but like, yeah, I haven't read it yet, so I can't.
Probably more interesting than real history. I will say that.
But I mean,
and it
like,
is real history.
It is real history.
It is real history.
It,
yes,
it it's people doing it crazy things with down. Yeah. But yeah. I guess I'm not going to plug it yet. I will get it and read it, and then probably plug it later on. So yeah, thanks for listening. I guess one last thing, we don't say this too often, but if you do enjoy this, thank you for listening. If you feel so inclined, tell a friend or rate us on iTunes.
Oh, are we still on iTunes?
Apparently. I think so.
Send me an email. Come knock at my door so I know somebody listens to this.
We enjoy doing this, and if you folks are nice enough to go out and promote it, rate us accordingly, we appreciate it, and hopefully it will let others find out about us. But yeah, thanks for listening.
If you don't rate us 5 stars, I'm going to kill Nick Roma.
No, don't say...
That means that's an incentive for them to rate below 5 stars. You fucking realize this?
Yeah,
it's up to them. Do they like Noob? There you go. They decide.
Turn this into a reality show.
For just 2 stars a day, you can keep this Nooborama alive. Two simple payments
for 5 stars a day.
For 5 stars a day.
Well, just 5 stars a day, keep Nooborama alive.
Okay.
I can't wait to play Summer Lesson. Honestly, like that whole last bit of the show, I was thinking about Summer Lesson.
You need to play this game live. You need to stream yourself playing Summer Lesson, and then you need to make sure that you're wearing tight pants.
I will say, in defense of Summer Lesson, because one's the crazy Japanese, like the schoolgirl chick, but one is just like a blonde chick on a beach, right?
Yes, yes.
When I watch that...
She's wearing semi-transparent clothes.
Like... What? Okay.
Like, you can see a bra through a top. That's pretty much it.
But that's it.
That's it, yeah. It's not like you can't see nipples. In neither case can you see nipples.
It seemed like a really relaxing place to be.
Yes. Except that,
unless you're
weird
the demographic that this
game
appeals to, and who would be fucking sweating and shaking.
I just mean in terms of like just leaning
like
back,
a beach house.
Looking out at like the nice ocean, like hearing the breeze come in. That just sounds really relaxing to me.
Hmm. So except you won't be paying attention to that.
Yeah, you.
It depends on how annoying the scripting is for like
fucking masturbation.
Oh, senpai, why don't you like? What do you want to do today? And then walking back and forth, and they're like, "No, get out of the way. I'm on holiday. Piss off."
I don't think you go to that game for the beach house experience.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that's like
some
easy thing
that
on
offer you
Oculus.
That.
Well, yeah, like, and I will probably not. Like I don't know. Maybe I'll get it, but it's
everyone gets Summer Lesson. Everyone needs to come with the system. It needs to be the pack-in game. That would be incredible. Imagine that.
Summer
Imagine
Lesson,
that fucking game.
But the thing is, it's like Summer Lesson seems like watching softcore and pornography. It doesn't make sense.
It's pointless. But it's not because it, for the same reason Austin likes it. It's not about the what's that word? Titillation. Titillation. It's not about the titillation. It's about that this is the first game many people play that gives you that actual sense of there being like this attractive woman really uncomfortably close to you, who A isn't real,
uncomfortably close
and
to you,
B is like because she's actively hitting on you.
You mean that like ASMR crap?
ASMR.
But the thing is, it's only gonna be uncomfortably close for people who are like fucking who have no. Like social interaction with the opposite gender on a regular basis.
Because it's not like the A, they'll be actively hitting on you, and B, is she's not actually real. So it's not like you can disarm the situation. It's not like you can
just take the headset off.
Exactly.
But the thing is, right? As somebody,
like, Mr. Wizard, get me out of here. Headset off, done.
Yeah.
By the way, just heads up, still recording.
As somebody who plays like bad games.
Yes.
In this genre, on like.
You mean bad as in fucking pornographic, right?
Right. And like half of my friends, half of my close friends are female. But it's just like when I watched this, I cringed in a way that I didn't for like the weird.
And that's why it's exciting. That's why it's interesting and new because it's the first game that could actually, like most people will play. Like obviously the people like you, you've probably made, like played some fucked up shit. But like for most people. This will be the first game that gives you that experience. And that is incredible.
I do want the experience. I specifically remember I talked about this on this podcast in like the first couple episodes when I was talking about Love Plus. And then to get past the level, you had to speak Japanese into the microphone and say like, I love you or something. And I remember my dad was like on the opposite side of the living room. Felt like something died inside me. Like I lost... my innocence or something.
Yeah, that's the moment your innocence was lost. That is the moment.
And just like, and I feel like it'll only be good because it's one thing to have like the visual thing there, right? That's only so much if they can actually get that weird, like uncomfortable, emotional kind of like fucked up thing into your head.
Yeah, I think it will. But I think if you want to have a uncomfortableness simulator. VR is the best way to do it because
oh, for sure.
The normal.
No, but the thing is, you can't. I don't think you can just achieve that. Like, the question is this game going to be Love Plus or is this game going to be learn a language with a pretty girl? That's the difference.
It's going to be the latter. Like, don't be crazy. This game, like, only way they can actually get this out onto. Like, into the West at all.
But Love Plus is completely non sexual, though.
That never came out in the West. It was a fan
patch. That's what I'm saying. Why didn't it come out in the West?
Because it's fucking fucked up. It's a dating simulator for schoolgirls, and that's not cool. I'm not sure if you're aware of this new drama, but that's not cool.